Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. Today's sponsor is Audible. Please visit audiblepodcast.com/Ari for a free audiobook download. That's right, I got a sponsor. Someone's going to pay me to talk into a microphone, which I guess is what I already do. Hello, how are you? On today's episode, I talked to my friend Neil Brennan. I couldn't really figure out what I want to talk to him about. It was either going to be his weird black street cred that he's developed from writing with Dave Chappelle over the years, and just, I guess, being a friend of the black community. I don't really know how he's gotten it. So we were going to talk about that, or we were going to talk about his views on relationships and women, or we were going to talk about directing and what that's like, and how you would even get into it, and how you... Well, this is what we end up talking about. I'll relieve the tension. We talked about directing. And then we talked all about, like, how you get jobs and how you... what you do once you're on a job. I don't know. It was really interesting. I've never met anyone who's actually directed a real movie. And Neil Brennan has. So we talked all about that. It was really fun. If you go to my website, www.arithegreat.com, there's a picture that he references at some point in this podcast about Obama when he met him. And so I put a copy of that on there. And then some goofy Photoshops that fans do. Usually on Sunday nights when I'm editing these, I realize I didn't take a picture with whatever guest I was supposed to take a picture of. And so you guys have been cool enough. My Twitter followers have been cool enough to Photoshop some junk when I ask. So some of those are up there. And then whatever else. Usually a comedy set of the person I interview or whatever else is germane or relevant to whatever discussion. Whatever. My next storyteller show is December 7th at the Improv on Melrose, the Hollywood Improv on Melrose. It is all virginity tales. We're all tales of losing your virginity. It's called This Is Not Happening. That's a series. This Is Not Happening presents. And this one is called Deflowered. It's all about losing your virginity. So we got Kevin Christie, who makes those posters every month for it. He's doing it. Steve Renazzisi from The League. Who else? John Reap, the Hemi guy and winner of one of the Last Comic Standings and a hilarious comic. And Mark Maron from... What the Fuck podcast with Mark Maron and all the comedy specials and junk. It should be really cool. I'm trying to find a chick, too. So maybe we can have a chick tell her story of losing your virginity. I don't know. I think it might fit. But otherwise, that's pretty much the lineup. So it's $5. Come out. Go to improv.com, whatever, and go to the Hollywood site and get a ticket. It's $5. I try to keep it cheap because it's so experimental. And then Maron finally told me. Fans have been asking me to podcast these. And Maron finally told me, too. I always felt weird about asking comics to let me put something down, like, forever, that, you know, they might not have worked out. But he seems to think it's a good idea, so I'm going to do it, starting with this one. I don't know what I'm going to call the podcast. We'll see. But if you're in town, if you're in L.A., please come, December 7th. It's one of my favorite shows even to watch in Los Angeles, so it'll be really fun. And that's it, everybody. That's all the announcements. I'm glad you guys are liking these. Then here's another one. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, number 32, director, with Mr. Neil Brennan. All right, so here's the deal. Now it's recording. I fucked up horribly, and I forgot to press record. So Neil Brennan and I were having a nice long conversation. It was a good 30-40 minutes.
I don't think we'll ever reach those heights again.
No.
It was fine.
But anyway, I was going to talk to you about your black street cred, but now that we started talking, I figure we should talk more about women, because I think you have really similar tastes in girls than I do, and similar thoughts.
Well, we were talking about where we got into the conversation. We were talking about comedians who, like, willfully work dirty or willfully will, like, look weird, or their hair's fucking look stupid, or, no offense, sorry, I'm kidding.
It's balding, I can't help
it. No, I know, and you've actually gotten a lot of work from that hair.
I have.
You have? No, I know. I watched TV.
I book commercials. I used to show them my wristband and my fucking hair and my glasses, and I was like,
what was your
it.
Wristband?
When that was in style, that's what I wore. Switched it to heavy glasses and a beard. The glasses are always there. The beard is a new wristband.
Yeah, you're right. What we were talking about with girls, do something.
Oh, look like what girls would want you to look like a little bit.
It's not that big a fucking sacrifice to have stubble on your face. It's like, Do you not want to look more attractive to women?
Uh-huh.
Like, it's the same thing. It's like, I don't like guys that their acts stink, and they're like, yeah, but I'm honest. It's like, okay, but your act stinks.
Yeah. You could be honest in a different way. You can be honest
and be funny instead of just fucking, I tell the truth. Maybe lie
people
a little
stick
bit.
People stick to that too much. That's why I hated Bill Hicks.
I didn't hate Hicks. I really liked Hicks.
Yeah, I know you did. But it was like,
I liked his jokes. I love Stanhope. Yeah. I like activist comedy.
I'm a Stanhope guy. Absolutely love Stanhope.
And I think Doug has gotten better than Bill.
Yeah.
That's probably
I think he
blasphemy.
Does social commentary and he has people laughing hard the whole time.
Where
I think
and
that's
it's,
where Hicks
yes.
missed.
I think they're both really valuable.
Yeah.
But
you like Kinison?
I don't know that much about Kinison.
You should look at it.
I mean, I have.
He's only got one album, really.
He's an unbelievably good performer.
Yeah.
I watched a documentary about him that was on Netflix.
Did you see the
why
bits
we laughed
about how when he gets, what, it's like the corpse is getting fucked in the ass and how about life keeps fucking
oh,
you?
Oh, yeah. That was too simple for me.
Really?
Too simple a bit. Yeah. It's just too I'm getting fucked in the, I don't know. People getting fucked in the ass to me. It's just kind of like, eh. It's the level of difficulty. So we were talking about.
No, but the way he took, here's a story about a guy getting fucked in the ass when he was dead.
Right.
And he took that, maybe it's simple, maybe.
It's too simple. It's yeah, too maybe. Like, and the, my butt, and then my asshole.
His young comedian special, when he's screaming.
Absolutely, it's
he comes
revelatory.
Full circle, and then screams again at the
yeah.
end, and you realize, oh, that's what you've been screaming about.
Yeah, you.
Women have driven you so crazy.
Yeah, it's Sam, I mean, you want to talk about a act custom made for a 7-minute set?
After a while,
made.
It must get like,
that's one of those guys. It's like when people are like, he only has 7 minutes. They'll say that. They say that about Letterman. Like, you know, he only had 15 minutes and it was a lot of crowd work.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Sam might as well. I'm a comedy aficionado and Sam might as well have only had 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He might as well have only had that young comedian special because like
Mitchell's Donuts.
Yeah. Like fucking go to where the food is. Just like, oof, that's a really good joke.
Yeah.
It's a great joke. Chris always holds Sam up as like his guy.
His Letterman set, Sam Kinison.
Yeah.
Is my favorite introduction because Letterman clearly knew who he was. And he was like, it's something along the lines of, you guys, this next guy's a comic. I don't want to say anything else about him. It's just going to be amazing.
I've never seen it. I watch.
And you see him in the background just slamming the table and laughing in some of the shots.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because he loved it.
I'll watch that. I watched Eddie Murphy's Tonight Show.
Really?
Eddie Murphy's first Tonight Show. I tweeted it, and it got 100 retweets. And I said, just watch the first 10 seconds. Just watch his entrance.
He comes out with so much sweat.
You watch it. And
confidence.
It's not confident. It's beyond confidence. It's the coolest. He's the coolest guy in the world.
Yeah.
Johnny is on Eddie's set, is the way it looks.
Really?
Yeah, it's fucking amazing. Like I'm telling you, a video clip that gets 100 retweets.
Yeah, just a video clip.
Just
That's
a video
tough.
Clip. It's not like it's video clips are a pain in the ass to watch. You got to wait. This got 100 retweets because it's just like. Oh, this guy was fucking
I got one video
crazy.
Clip that had 100 retweets because it was me taking a video of a kangaroo jerking himself off.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, yeah, but just comedy. That's
yeah,
tough
just
shit.
A, and also just a, hey, you want to see a guy walk? That's what I was basically tweeting. You watch the way this guy walks.
I love the way you guys handled Eddie Murphy in those Charlie Murphy stories.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just in the back. Were you taking his actual clips?
No, that was Greer Barnes
oh.
doing. The funniest part of that was Greer Barnes, comedian, and he did an Eddie impression. And so we had it. It's mixed way low. You're like, oh, Rick just hit Charlie in the face.
Yeah.
It's just a bad Eddie impression. The most embarrassing part was playing it for Eddie.
What did he
and
say?
Forgetting that it was even in there. And like, ooh. But he couldn't have been cooler about that.
Really?
When we showing him Rick James is one of the coolest, will be one of the coolest moments of my life. In that we're at his house in Jersey in his basement recording studio. We're watching it before it had aired.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say he was crying from laughter.
Really?
I thought I saw him wipe his eye. I don't know. He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that cries from laughter. But he turned around and said, you niggas deserve an Emmy for this. Yeah, that was awesome. And then he was like,
you and Chappelle went over to his house.
Yeah, we went a couple. Yeah, I went. That was we went a couple times.
And Charlie,
I'm buddies with him. Yeah, now I'm like, I have his cell phone number.
That's cool. Renazzisi said hi to him. He's come to the store before, and Renazzisi, who I guess did a movie with him.
Yeah,
they like shook hands and stuff. But he always hangs out by himself. That guy.
Eddie's one of those guys. It's like, here's the thing about Eddie. It's like, you would think that when you picture Eddie Murphy hanging out, you kind of just picture Axel Foley walking along.
Yeah.
Rodeo Drive.
Uh-huh.
He is at his house, almost never leaves his house, and has tons of people over. And the thing is, they're all black.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I went to a party at his house for the fight for, like, a Manny Pacquiao. I think it was Pacquiao. It was Mayweather somebody. And big-ass tent, probably 1,500 people. And like shuttle buses going from
Jesus, that must be cool to throw a party that way.
Yeah, and it's on a tent on his property. It's not in his house.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you don't go into the house like the Playboy Mansion. You're not going into the house. You can go in a tent on the outside, and it's all black people. It's fucking. There are no white. I was like one of a handful of white people. Really? And here's how cool Eddie is. This is a year ago. There's a roped off section for him and all his friends, for like his good
in
friends.
His own party?
Within the tent. But the TV's so huge, it's just couches. Everybody else has a stand. And he saw me, walked over to the red rope, and gave me a hug.
That's
gave
nice.
Me a pound. And someone was like, Eddie, like tried to shake his hand. He goes, man, I'm here to say what's up to Neil. And it's shit like that where you're like, well, how did this happen? This is awesome.
Like, I'm just a douchebag.
Yeah, I was in his house one time. This is during Chappelle's show. I was in his house one time, and Dave, and Charlie went over there. It was like a Tuesday night. Me, Dave, and Charlie went over there. Charlie went to use the bathroom. Dave was smoking a cigarette. So I'm in Eddie's kitchen by myself eating soup. From that like the chef had made, and it's like in Jersey at 9:45 at night, and I'm just eating soup at a counter. Eddie walks in with his wife. They've been downstairs watching a movie in the theater, and he's like, "Hey, baby, did you meet Neil?" And I wanted to go like, "How the fuck do you know my name, man?" But and what's nice about Eddie is he's really a comedy fan. Like not the times I've met him, he's got this reputation for being arrogant. Based on like two articles.
Really? I've not known that.
Based on like Elvis Mitchell wrote an article saying he was arrogant. And the crazy thing is Eddie still is resentful for it.
Really?
Yeah, that's why he doesn't do press. Because he's like, why do I need to have somebody else tell people what I'm like? And I'll just, why don't I just go on? I'm not who they think I am. Like, I'm a great, he doesn't say this. Roger Ebert has always said that Eddie Murphy, the reason he works so well is because he had a real like love of humanity that you could just see in him.
Huh.
Eddie really does like people. Like he really does. Like he's a sort of he's wary just from being famous. But
that's
the problem. But like the first time I was at their house, at Eddie's house, like he had pictures of like he had the clumps or something on the wall.
Yeah.
And I asked him. I was like, I asked him if one of the brothers was based on Charlie, the one who wears like this cut-off sweatshirt.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, man. He's like, and this is just like off to the side of his, like where we're all watching TV. And he's just talking to me about Sherman Klump.
Really?
And he's like,
give me the breakdown?
Yeah. He's like, see, Sherman was like a mama's boy. He's like, that's the way I drew it up. Like Sherman, and even you can see Sherman and his mother give each other looks. Meanwhile, he plays both of them. He's like, and the brother resented Sherman for it. He's breaking this whole psychology down and doing it in a very humble way. The other thing that's I'm really
had a bit about that movie, and he said he should win an Oscar.
Who did?
Earthquake.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy should win an Oscar.
Yeah.
Because he played five motherfuckers. Braveheart played one motherfucker.
That's what I went to the premiere, and I've said this on me and Motion Doug's The Champs podcast. I said I went to the premiere with Chappelle's in the movie, and I said Eddie deserves an Oscar for that, and he actually won a Golden Globe. which people forget. Did he really? Or he got nominated.
Really?
Yeah, he got nominated for a Golden Globe.
Nominations plenty.
No, but he should have won. He should have won it. He should have won an Oscar. Everybody, what the fuck? Who the fuck can do that?
Oh, because they don't have a comedy division.
No, it's
for
music
acting.
And comedy.
That's so ridiculous.
So it actually, I think Nutty Professor actually lost to Jerry Maguire. I'm not even kidding. We're just like, yeah, they're both comedies. All right.
What?
Yeah,
that's a weird thing.
So but I've heard Eddie talk about Richard Pryor.
Yeah. That's the only times I've seen him come into the store to watch Mooney.
Yeah, no, him and Mooney are super close. One night, he goes to Trippin' on Tuesday.
Yeah, he does
once
that.
A month.
Right. I don't see him there, but
you know what's cool? I saw him at Trippin' on Tuesday a couple months ago, and he was with Jim Brown, and Eddie introduced me to Jim Brown.
What?
He's like Eddie, Jim, you ever met Neil? And Jim's like, no, brother, nice to meet you. Fucking hand,
humongous
hand, the size of a fucking size of like a Michelle Gondry video hand.
What is he going to Fat Tuesday for? Just to watch? Just have fun?
Yeah, because he likes comedy.
Wow.
He's a comic. Like, that's the thing. So he talked about Richard Pryor in the way that the great thing about Eddie is when he talks, he never gives off the air of like, and I should know because I'm Axel Foley. He talks about comedy like a guy who's never done comedy.
Really?
Yeah, he talked about comedy. He's like, man, what Richard did and the way he spoke to the audience and he walked around, it was really his experience. And it's really like he's talking about this guy like a true admirer and not a guy, when I did Raw.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't, even Raw, he said he doesn't like the edit.
Really?
Yeah, because they had to cut a bunch of shit out. Like, from the MPAA, they had too many fucks, they had too many motherfuckers.
Really?
They negotiated. Robert Townsend was on the Champs podcast and talked about
Neil Brennan has a podcast called
The
Champs.
I have a podcast. I'm going to keep bringing it up until you stop playing
DJ
this and
Doug
start
Pounch.
Playing that.
And he only interviews black people.
Yeah, I only have black guests. And every time I see Eddie, he's nothing but really,
that's
really
cool.
Nice. And also really smart. Like, he's got as good a recall for cinematic history as any person I've ever met.
He must be smart. He must be kind of
in
brilliant.
My life. Say again?
He must be kind of brilliant.
He's brilliant. Yeah, he's got a photographic memory. He's got a phonographic memory. Apparently, he can do impressions of every single person he meets.
He does an old Jewish man that I think he did. There was this clip online.
Is this Velvet, that thing?
What
is this, Velvet, that thing? From Coming to America?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
But he did like a riff.
Yeah.
There's an audio clip of him just riffing about how he can't pee right anymore or something like that.
Yeah.
He's like, it's just like, I didn't understand that it was a black man.
Yeah.
It sounded like the people I grew up with.
He's a savant in the nicest possible. He's a genius. Chris Rock said one of the most talented people of the last 100 years.
Wow.
One of the most talented people of whoever lived. And I actually believe that. Like, I actually believe Eddie's so talented. He really is. Like, who's more talented than him? Steve Jobs, Thomas Jefferson, Bill Gates.
He's had hits.
Chaplin.
And besides a couple movies here or there, he hasn't gotten that career arc where it's like, you're lame now.
Well, those family movies are a little bit.
The family movies are.
Are a little
he's
rough.
Still done a couple things where like, oh, cool, cool, cool.
He's just because he's that good. Even Norbit, where he's fucking him. You watch Norbit, you go, yeah, I don't know. This is awful, but
he's good,
fucking good.
Yeah.
Because I actually complimented on him. I was like, dude, you're really funny, Norman. He's like, yeah. He was kind of like, eh.
Did you not take compliments?
No, he actually said, this a couple years ago, he goes, man, those costume movies. He's like, those makeup and costume movies are about as hip as having dreadlocks. He's like, yeah, I'm not doing that shit anymore.
Yeah. It's Jack and Jill when that came out. I was like, really?
I'll never see it, but the trailer made me laugh.
Really?
It made me laugh in that I was giving Adam the credit of watching him reacting to himself as a woman is funny
to
me.
To himself. Yeah, I guess so.
You're reacting to this, like you're embarrassed by this thing, but you're creating the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking at it from like a meta perspective. Where it's like
he's laughing at like how ridiculous
he's laughing at like this performance that he can't see.
Yeah, that's right.
Is. Yeah, I don't know. Now, we haven't talked about black people or women.
No, which one do you want to go to? Which one do you feel like?
Now we could just talk about showbiz. We could talk about whatever you want to talk about.
We could talk about showbiz. You know more about it. Well, fuck it. Let's do that then. And we'll just whatever I do these, I always have like a theme or
no,
whatever.
No, of course. And then you end up.
Yeah, you meander wherever you're going. Well, fuck it. Let's talk about showbiz. You directed a movie, right?
Sure did.
The Goods?
Sure did. Not a popular film, but
what
a fun film.
What was that experience like? Like, you had to audition people?
Yeah.
Like, regular? Like,
well, here's the... Yeah, I'll explain. I don't know if I've ever explained the entire process of a movie. All right. So, I did create a Chappelle Show with Dave, and basically, it's like being a good high school basketball player.
Uh-huh.
You just get recruited.
A great high school basketball player.
Say again? A great...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's it's like you're being all American.
Okay.
Basically directing a like I directed Rick James, I got Emmy nominations. Like
you direct those Rick James things?
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
So like I didn't know that. So because of that, then you're on people's
got an Emmy nomination for that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
7 years ago, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It was. Thanks. I'll see if I can find the certificate. I'll tell myself a long time ago. So you get on people's like an approved list for studios.
Like,
he can direct a movie now. Wow. He's good enough.
Is there really a list of like...
Yeah.
This, the 30 Mile Zone, all this Hollywood stuff, I'm always like so intrigued by.
There's a list.
So they put a list of like, so like Sony.
Sony. I'm probably... I was at one point on Sony's approved list. I don't know if the goods knocked me off. The goods knocked me... If it didn't knock me off list, it knocked me way the fuck down.
I remember what you said afterwards. I was like, after it came out... And I was so, because all I knew you was as a comic. I know you did Chappelle's Show, but to actually make that relation in your head.
Right. No, like, yeah, I have it. Yeah, it's hard to. Like
you're just a comic.
Yeah, it's hard. If you know somebody in one way, it's hard to know them in another.
But then I saw the preview for The Goods.
Yeah.
And it, I didn't see it, whatever, but.
Fine.
It looked like a legitimate movie. Like a it's a real movie. And I was like, whoa. And then I was with my girlfriend. I remember having to stop and see the billboard outside. I'm like, I think this is the one Neil did.
Yeah.
And I found your name and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
This is a real Hollywood
No, that's
movie.
What, whenever people are like, it's hard not to be defensive. I find it hard not to be defensive. I feel like I'm very predisposed to being written off.
Yeah.
Meaning, I'm sensitive to it. Because I started in comedy as a doorman.
Yeah, me too.
Literally as a doorman at the Boston Comedy Club 20 years ago, or 19 years ago. So there's a legion of guys.
That'll only see you as that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marin, Jeff Ross, Greg Fitzsimmons.
Diaz told me that any city you start in, you will never be respected in that city.
Yeah. Who told you that?
Joey Diaz.
Yeah.
They'll always see you as an open micer.
Yeah. And so I'm still a door guy. I've heard Jeff say, when I was on stage, how did he do this? Jeff Ross, I was killing one night, and he said to somebody, how did he do this?
Like, he doesn't understand.
Like, how did this happen? Like,
it's hard to understand.
They mistake being quiet
past.
With being unfunny. It's like, no, I'm just quiet. I'm predisposed that when people are like, I didn't know you did movies. I want to take their fucking, I want to bring them to set and show them what the job is. Like, oh yeah, I can do fucking
movies.
I'm in charge of 100 people. And like, they're all looking to me to figure out what, whatever. But that's my own defenses.
Yeah.
It's the Joe Pesci go get your shine box thing.
I feel like that when I do comedy sometimes, when it's like, let's say it's my parents' friends.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you do comedy? Hey, here's something you should do. I'm like, hey, listen, this is actually something I've done for over a decade.
I had
over
to say that. I had to do it to my brother. Nonstop. I'm also the youngest of 10. So
your brother's also your...
No,
really
my brother's a great
comedian.
Comic, but I have another brother that's not in comedy. I'm the youngest of 10. So
really?
Yeah. So I've got 10? This thing of
are
just like, you don't count.
Irish,
you don't count.
Are you?
Yeah, Irish cat.
Okay.
No condoms. Just fucking, just a ton of fucking, no condoms.
Stupid Christians.
Yeah. So I'm really sensitive to it. So like, even last week though, I saw my brother who works for Titleist, the golf company.
Yeah.
And he was trying to
Titleist.
talk down to me about the Occupy Wall Street thing.
Yeah.
And he wasn't really getting anywhere. And he just kept getting angrier and angrier and angrier.
Making the same points?
Not making, just trying to like catch me slipping in arguments and like arguing the argument and not the subject.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like arguing, well, you just said, so therefore the whole...
Where your argument becomes about proving somebody wrong instead of like,
it
well, let's just
about,
try to understand
it
things.
Becomes about quibbling over one...
One point.
One turn of phrase that mistake that
you
somebody
made. You said
all
people aren't like that. It's not all people.
Yeah, it's only 94, but you said all. So it was one of those things. And the next day, I emailed him, hey, Joe, I know that I'm your younger brother, but I am one of the better comedy writers in the country. And I wrote, and if you don't believe me, ask Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, the president, and Seth Meyers, because I wrote for Seth's shit.
You wrote for the, what is
for
it?
For the Correspondents' Dinner. But I wanted, and I wanted, and I, what I didn't say was, look, I know you've sold a lot of golf balls. Because again, then I'm just being a bigger dick than him. But that's,
an asshole,
but
yeah.
That's where it's like, but I was, I felt like I was in my, the way he was talking.
Wait,
to
why
me.
Why'd you say that about Occupy Wall Street?
Why what?
Why did you have to defend yourself about that?
Because he was just on some, like, I'm for it, and he's against it because he's fucking Republican and thinks that they're like, yeah, they had to find places to put their money. Yeah, they're not against banks. They're against corporate fucking malfeasance, greed, money in politics. People.
My only problem with the Occupy Wall Street is that the people they're not occupying, protesting in mm-hmm. front of, are they're not there. They're not listening. Some guy who owns a bank is not on
Wall
Street.
Oh, yeah, but all right, here's the thing. It's 2 months old. Okay. Name me a movement in our lifetime that's had this big an effect.
Yeah, I guess just Tea Party, but that's not.
Yeah, but they've already outdone the Tea Party because they're
no,
been
you're right. In that it gets people thinking.
Yeah, it's definitely. Like and that's the thing is like if you're against Occupy Wall Street, the only people the if you need any more proof that Occupy Wall Street is a decent undertaking, look at how much Republicans hate it.
Yeah,
and that should be like, oh well, this is something good's happening here.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I don't care if they even have goals yet, which they do. But everybody goes, they don't. That's another argument. People go, they don't have goals. I go, well, yeah, they do. I'll send you
I
a link
online a few days ago with people, and I'm like, please, someone. I'm not even trying to shit on them. Someone tell me what they're
I'll send you
for.
The link. Yeah. They're looking to get money out of politics. Ultimately, that's the head of
they're
the
looking
snake.
To get money out of politics.
Money out of campaigns. Campaign. Oh, it's to get campaign it away finance from reform.
Yeah.
Basically, is the bottom line.
Yeah.
So
the problem with that is, though, I know they're saying against this thing about corporations can be able to put unlimited money into whatever, and this ruling they had, I guess, a year or two ago, uh-huh. where you can just
Supreme
make
Court,
a movie
yeah.
about whatever, about a campaign.
Yeah.
But they're saying they're linking that with the 99% of people, you know, make up 99% of people, but 1% of the people own 99% of the wealth. Like, that's not linked to that.
They are linked.
But that only happened a year or two ago.
No. I mean, but it's been going on. That was like the final straw.
Oh, right.
Their campaign finance has gone so far off the rails where literally lobbyists write most of the bills that go to before Congress. Literally lobbyists, and then they go, "We wrote a law here, Congressman. We'll give you $40,000 for your reelection campaign. Put this to the floor."
But the problem with lobbyists are.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's good. The lobbyists,
but the only lobbyists should be the only lobbyists should be citizens.
The UJA has a lobby to be like
the Jewish,
you know, Jewish appeal or whatever. Right. It's like you should worry about getting the Soviet Jews out of Soviet Russia.
Oh yeah. But
like,
there's also Jewish organizations that are completely swaying the argument toward Israel.
Yeah,
in a way that's not fair.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they're more powerful. Than the Palestinian lobby or the whatever lobby.
Yeah.
So there
so
are
what,
things.
So then they get the ears of the congressman
more? Look, man, I'm all for influence in terms of, like, if you want to boycott, if you want to picket, if you want to set a meeting with your congressman, write a letter, that should be the level of public or corporate or lobbying should just be, here are the facts.
Yeah.
Here's where I come out on it. I want you to vote as one of your voters.
Yeah,
I
can't give
them
any presents.
I want you
anything,
to represent
right?
me, and what I would vote is this. So I expect you.
And now I'll, as a congressman or as a senator, I'll listen to your argument.
Yes, and you won't not listen because, well, I have to make so much money per day to get my budget right for my reelection campaign.
Yeah.
So I have to just constantly be meeting with lobbyists
because
and getting
donate
paid
to
off.
The campaign.
Yeah,
because paid off.
What do you mean?
When they say these congressmen are taking money, isn't it taking money to their reelection campaigns?
Yeah.
Okay, but it's not them pocketing cash.
Not specifically. But there's plenty of, like, sort of the 60 Minutes of the story that apparently wasn't well-researched about congressmen and women, Nancy Pelosi, John Boehner, making investments that were a little convenient for...
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, huh, for, like, law.
So
they bought stock one day, and the next day a law passed that... Made the stock shoot up, stuff like that. So they can benefit, you know.
Yeah.
No one
greedy.
Has
That's
yet.
A problem.
To,
they're all regular people.
They're all right. I don't think they're regular people. I think that they're egomaniacs, and they're. It's Larry
Here's
Miller
why I think
does
you're
that
wrong.
Great joke about how crazy do you have to be to look in the mirror and say, "I should be the one who leads."
Yeah. You know, it's always been happening. Hall monitors were the same way. They were assholes
absolutely.
To people.
Absolutely. But
because they had a little power and they took more.
Certainly. Yeah, and it's absolute power corrupts absolute. I've seen it in any situation where I've yet to see power not go to someone's head.
It has to. I mean,
I've yet
it
to.
Does.
It's fucking. We're here's the thing. Humans. They've done a lot of sociological studies, and one of my favorite ones is, and I talked about this on Joe's podcast, about they put people in a situation. And they put 100 people in a situation, some sort of scruples yeah. thing, and 96% of them thought, or 96% of them went the quote unquote wrong
unscrupulous
way,
unscrupulous way.
Yeah. Then and they showed this to 100 people, and they were like, okay, so you see it's unscrupulous. Now it's your turn.
They're like, well, I won't. I'm better.
I won't do that. Yeah. And they went in and they did the exact same thing. Like people are, we're just pre-programmed.
Yeah,
we're selfish animals. That's
yeah, like,
why
like, corporate greed. That's made up of individuals. Individuals will continue to for all time.
Absolutely,
be
and
greedy.
Corporations not only have to do it. It's on. It's that on fucking cocaine. It's individual what? Greed on cocaine. Because if your profit doesn't go up every quarter, your fucking stock goes down.
Oh wow!
And if your stock goes down, you lose your like it. You have to, and the only way your stock can go up every quarter is if you cut jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Or open new markets, and cutting jobs is a gruesome, shitty thing to do. And opening new markets,
it's hard.
You're going to get your fucking hands dirty. That's all yeah. I'm going to say. You're going to have to pay. It's always a little shifty. Or you can invent something, which almost never happens.
Did you go down there to Occupy LA?
Yeah, I've been there a couple times. I did stand up. Someone just texted me while I was
Jeff
here.
Jeff Ross went down there and roasted.
Yeah, roasted. A girl. A girl just texted me that she got arrested from
really?
Down there. Yeah. And like I, yeah, like I know the first when like on day three, I brought down deodorant and
really
socks.
To
and, yeah.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah. Like I care, man. Cause again, like I regret not, protesting Iraq. I regret not protesting the World Trade Organization. I regret not protesting NAFTA. That shit was a huge mistake.
I don't know any of this stuff.
Yeah, it's just NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement. It basically allowed corporations to send all their jobs overseas.
Oh.
And but it's good for stockholders.
Right.
Because their labor fees. Yeah. Yeah, they're way cheaper production.
It's so frustrating getting Indian people on the phone.
Yeah.
You're so goddamn frustrating.
You'd rather a fat black lady in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, just on accent level alone, I can't understand you. I'm angry about not getting my way, and I can't understand what you're saying to me.
Yeah. When was the last time you had to talk to one of these people?
It happens quite a lot.
Do you? Well, yeah. With what are you doing?
I'm trying to think. Probably internet stuff or computer stuff.
I've been lucky lately.
I have talked to fat black ladies when it comes to talking to the IRS.
And how
she
were they?
Like, she was like, okay, so I couldn't prove that I was me. She told me I answered a question wrong. And
right.
I was like, okay, stop. Stop yelling at me for a second. Let's just pretend. Let's just say that I really was me. And I maybe said a number wrong on my social security number or something.
Right.
Isn't there a way I can repeat?
Right. Also, why would an Ari Shaffir imposter call the IRS?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to do the worst thing. I'm really going to. You know what? The first thing I'm going to do as Ari Shaffir is pay off my taxes.
She hung up on me.
Now that I've... Did she really?
She wouldn't even let me. Yeah. After hours on hold and then hang up. I'm like, no!
That's hilarous.
So frustrating. All right, let's get back right. to your
I'm sorry. So when you do a good thing on TV or you make a short, you get on these approve lists.
These
so,
lists of saying
so then,
if you as a screenwriter
want
to meet with
generally
this guy,
it's as a director. This, okay. There's a whole nother screenwriting list. That's a whole nother list.
Okay. Did you write the goods?
No.
Okay.
McKay,
so let's say you
guys,
have this screener, Joel McKay or whatever.
I was on the list during Half Baked and subsequent years. I'm probably still on some list. I'm just so far down. Because you have to like renew it every year. You have to write a good script every year and a half, and I just haven't written
it. So Spielberg's always on that list?
Spielberg doesn't write his movies.
Oh, but I mean for directing.
Oh, but he's not even.
Obviously he can be taken.
There's guys. I'm talking about. It's like Robert Zemeckis. Okay. There's guys that are like not even on. It's
but
like,
some new hotshot from USC that just graduated.
Yes, guys like that. It's like the approved. It'll be guys as high as like Tom Shadyac, Jay Roach or whatever. Like they'll be on the guys you want to have direct your movies. So then they'll send me, I guess I got rid of all of them. They send me every comedy script for the last 7 years. Every You, Me, and Dupree, the ice skating movie.
What's the ice skating movie?
Fucking
the comedy?
Blades of Glory.
Okay.
Blades of Glory, The Brothers Solomon,
just
fucking Horrible Bosses.
Or
yeah, literally, would you
be interested in talking
further? Super Bad, they sent me. I just never read it.
Who directed the ice skating movie?
The guys who directed the Geico commercials with the cavemen.
Wow.
They were hot from that. So then they got the ice skating movie I was up for.
Really?
They really wanted me for that.
And so this just becomes gauge your interest and then we'll talk. We're not gonna
yeah, but
you.
When we talk, I'm pitching.
You're pitching yourself.
Yeah, as how I would, what I would make the movie look like.
Who and are you talking do it, to?
You talk to the studio head and the producer. In the case of the ice skating movie, it was this guy Stuart Kornfeld, who's Ben Stiller's partner.
Okay.
So
you got this book, you got the script of the goods.
Yeah. Yes.
Went in to talk to them.
What had happened was Tracy Morgan had an idea for a movie that I wasn't a great idea, but I just was like, I like Tracy, so let me go pitch it. And we pitched it to McKay. He didn't want to do it, but we were funny.
He's a winner, that guy, McKay. He's done like lots
yeah,
of
Yeah, Adam's
things.
Great. Yeah. He produced the goods, him and Will Ferrell. So we pitched to McKay Tracy's movie. He didn't want to do it, but he was like, Neil's really funny. And which, again, proves my point that unless someone in comedy sees you be funny with their own eyes,
then it's not.
Then you're not funny.
Yeah.
I've gotten more compliments of people going, you're really funny, from Twitter than Chappelle Show.
It's amazing.
Because you can see what I do on Twitter. Chappelle Show is all invisible. That's the thing. That's the problem with the NBA lockout is all these guys' hard work is behind closed doors.
Who's
so,
hard work?
The players.
All right. They just think, oh, you just play. Like, no, you
yeah, like,
wait
you
for
should
hours
be,
a day every
yeah, that's
day
what,
and have to.
Yeah, I've had, like, fucking, I know that guy Blake Griffin, he was on the podcast. He's going to freeze his muscles next week.
What do you mean?
There's a thing called cryotherapy. Kobe does it, where you freeze your muscles to -300 degrees. It takes all the blood out, puts it in the core of your body, and then releases. It's like some new, so you can work out for 4 hours, get frozen for 3 minutes, and then work out for another 4 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, because they just, wow.
It does some blood muscle shit.
Like, lousy.
And it's legal. Yeah, it's legal. But these guys are fucking,
animals.
Work hard, and you just assume that they don't because it, like, what
wow.
do you mean you work hard? Because it would be too pitiful
what,
to
yeah,
watch.
Like, what does work hard mean? Running up and down the court every time?
Oh, no. I'm talking about work hard, yeah. Like, in the, like, there was a pickup game today. For hours, like,
oh, really?
And it's a game, but these guys are busting their, like, you know, they have to fucking
look
work
at
out
tape and stuff.
They have to, yeah. Blake, I was at Blake's house. He has a. It was actually I couldn't even believe it. He had a DVD that said Blake low post moves, and it was all of his in game videos,
yeah.
of him in the low post.
Wow,
you know what I mean? So he just watches. He studies. Like, again, these don't sound that hard. I find the working out is really grueling. And the fact that they could fucking break their neck on any play.
Yeah.
That it's really physical and rigorous. So comedy's the same way in that if I say to you, I'm going to introduce you to my friend Josh. He's really dramatic.
Yeah.
You can imagine what someone being dramatic is like. Like,
yeah.
He's a pain in the ass. He's, like, disagreeable. He exhales a lot. He just looks at you. If I say my friend's really funny,
yeah.
you just go, what? What do you mean he's really funny? I'd
Until
be like,
you,
you know,
it.
He fucking... He does a lot of wordplay. Like, you can't even... He's real... And people go, he's really dry. That means nothing to me.
Yeah.
Until I see it. So that's... I've actually... In
I
the
get
last,
that. When people tell me somebody's funny, I'm like, all right.
Yeah, well, no. As comics, it's a whole other thing, which is I just immediately hate them.
Yeah.
It's like,
there's
we'll
no
see.
Way he's funny.
Yeah, we'll and see. And then you watch me go, oh, yeah, he is funny. Oh, yeah, you're funny. Yeah, I'm a... Then people go, oh, you're funny. I'm like, did you not see other stuff I've done? Yeah, but you don't... It's because it's invisible. You don't know.
Yeah.
And you just assume, even as an audience member, you assume that Dave wrote it all. I'm in comedy.
Yeah.
When I watch sketches, I can't believe they didn't write them. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a sketch writer. If I watch Night Live, I'm like, they're just making this
what?
Up.
You didn't write those? Yeah, it mm-hmm. seems like that. You don't do the math in your brain, I guess.
It's invisible. You can't. You can't. Yeah. Like, your brain isn't built for it. It's two-dimensional. So then you go in and you pitch and you say what it will look like visually.
Who's there?
Me, the director, the possible potential director.
That's you.
Yeah. The head of the studio. The skating movie. It was me, a guy named John
on
Fox.
The movie?
The ice skating movie.
Okay.
This guy, John Fox, who was an executive at DreamWorks. A guy named Stuart Kornfeld, who is Ben Stiller's partner. Ben was going to be in it at that point.
Okay.
And they bought the script and produced it. And this guy, Adam Goodman, who's the head of, he was the head of DreamWorks.
Okay.
So I go in, and he's like, "You're a funny motherfucker, man." Like, he knew, he was a Chappelle Show fan.
And he knew and was aware that you wrote a lot of
that. Yeah, that I wrote and directed a lot. Okay. Yeah. So then you go in, and I didn't know how to do it. So that meeting, I kind of blew, because no one explained to me how you pitch to direct a movie. What I came to realize is, you go in with sort of a, they call them like vision boards, which is a really corny thing. But sometimes is I'll just take, I'll go on DVDs and just grab images from movies I like.
Yeah.
And then go like, this is what I want it to look like.
Commercials, I know they do that, where they just, they'll take a still or something.
Yeah.
And you're like, it should look along the lines of this.
Absolutely. Yeah, I did some commercials for ESPN this summer, and it's like, this.
You did ESPN commercials?
I did. Yeah, but they were just for the ESPYs. It was the ones with like Serena Williams. And not like the fake documentary campaign.
We thought of a, maybe you can direct it. Tony and I were thinking this up. Tony
Hinchcliffe?
Yeah. It's Eli and Peyton. And then Eli at some point, I'm trying to remember all the details, but Eli at some point going to Peyton, like, did you want to know what it was like to beat Brady in New England? Or were you cool with that? Just like at a family reunion or something.
Yeah. There's so many commercials written for them now.
Yeah, I'm sure, actually.
Like, they're so, like, they're the most, and they're also really hard to get.
Really?
Yeah, like,
so
Peyton
good.
Is a fucking movie star at this point. I mean, not in that world, it's
he's
like,
so good in
commercials. Oh, you can't get Peyton.
Yeah.
Like, he did a sketch last year for the ESPYs, and they're like, all right, you have
Posada's available, though.
Yeah, no, exactly. They're like, you have Peyton for an hour and 45 minutes.
Wow.
And it's not because these guys are assholes. It goes back to that thing of, like, because they're working hard.
Yeah.
That's whenever me and Blake Griffin text, they'll be like, did you exercise your muscles today? Because that's what he has to do.
Right, and I did a commercial with Tiger Woods. And we had to fly to Orlando. Like, he doesn't fly.
Yeah, he ain't going
commercial.
Fucking. I'm not going to fucking leave.
The city and that's it.
Yeah, and you have an hour and 40 minutes because I have to go back and hit golf balls.
Yeah, he was in for a while, and then he's like, okay, you guys can continue without him and do all the other stuff.
Yeah, well, he's not going to do off camera stuff.
Yeah.
He's not going to do dialogue off camera that he's not in. And yeah, that's the thing is, so you go, and then he goes back and he fucking hits golf balls. And you'll never. I want to make a video defending the NBA players. And I wrote an email and whatever. I'm going to Blake may send it out because I want to show, like, the shit you guys do is invisible. And people, if people saw you guys fucking with your muscles shaking as you're trying to get the last one up and you're screaming.
How do you convey 8 hours of work? Time lapse?
Vomit.
Oh, okay.
That's one way.
Somebody vomiting while they're working out is a good way to
That's a pretty good sign. Covered in sweat. Just fucking, just gruel.
Yeah.
And also just shoot. You want to watch, you want to watch somebody shoot. Yeah, you do a time lapse. You want to watch, but also not too time much of a time lapse because you want to convey how pitifully boring it is.
Yeah.
How soul crushingly boring and repetitive it is.
Glenn Rice would not leave the gym until he swished 10 3-pointers in a row. And it would take him hours sometimes.
Fucking Ray Allen has to make 100 3-pointers before every game.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it, OCD?
Basically. These guys are weird. It's a weird job, and they deserve at least half of the money. They are the show.
Yeah.
They're the show. No one goes.
Here's the weird thing. Can't they just, like, this thought entered my mind. Can't they just say, okay, new league.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to play at high school gyms for a while.
Yeah, but the problem is it's then you're into starting a new league would take – we could – have the idea now, it would take 3 years to get up and running.
Uh-huh.
With, like, setting up a league, setting up arenas, setting up conferences, setting up fucking a draft, it would just take forever. That's the thing, is it just all of it takes forever. There's no XFL.
The owners don't really do, I mean, I know they do some stuff, definitely.
It's basically passive income. There was Malcolm Gladwell wrote a good piece on that Grantland website, saying that a guy who bought the New Jersey Nets bought it so that he could build high rises above an arena in Brooklyn. And then he sold it. He got all that cleared, started the broke ground of the arena in high rises, and immediately sold the team. Here's the other thing.
Wow.
No team has depreciated. So as much as these guys are like, we're losing money, you may be losing money year to year, but you're going to make money in the long run. Yeah. So you're basically what you're complaining about is a dividend.
Yeah, I love when you hear an owner just sold, but he's owned the team for like 35 years, 40 years. Like, he bought it for $1 million.
Yeah, he bought it for a nickel and some tobacco pipe.
And barely unloaded some pipe tobacco.
Yeah, and then they appreciate like crazy. And the other thing I wrote in this note is, and none of the – what are the Lakers? When you think about the Lakers,
yeah,
they are Magic, Kobe, Shaq, Kareem, James Worthy, Michael Cooper, Sox. And that's about it.
Yeah.
Those guys don't have a fucking cent in the Lakers long run.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
They don't get a fucking penny. Kobe ain't going to make a penny from the Lakers the minute his contract's up. Kareem couldn't
either
even could barely get in
front office or
no no no
or that, they don't,
okay so they
you.
Get 80 grand a year. That's if the
80 grand a year is what a front office pays.
Not a lot. You're just like an ambassador. You're not making a lot of money.
And why? Just because you still want to? Why do they do it? Just because you want a key to the arena and you want to be able to go in when you want?
They do it because they want to be around the thing they're famous for.
Yeah, I guess so.
And it's also they want to be. They don't have any other skills. That's the other thing that I wrote is that these guys have to get as good at basketball as they are. You basically have to ignore everything else in your life. So we're like, well, why don't you develop another skill? Because I'm too busy shooting fucking jumpers. Right. I don't have time to develop another skill.
And also,
like,
why don't you study? I'm making millions of dollars a year for this, and I only have 10 years to do it.
Well, that's the other thing. I said it's like, but that's the thing is people don't think about the development of skill. It would be like if you had to go to college, pre-med, and then med school, and you only get to be a doctor for 4 years, and they force you to stop. So in that 4 years, you got to fucking scarf up money, man.
Yeah.
And it's not even scarfing up. It's fair. It's like, look, man, if they're getting what the market will bear, it's a really fun game to watch.
Yeah. That's
and these guys are extraordinarily good at it.
Get one more year in as like a backup somewhere for like $300,000.
Yeah.
And you're like, why wouldn't they just retire? It's like, because they're not going to make $300,000 in another year ever.
Again.
So let's cash in
this
the one
their
last try
skill.
We can. Yeah.
Although if you're white, you can pretty much get an announcing job. That's the greatness. All right. So I'm in that meeting.
Okay.
We're back at DreamWorks. Do you say nervous? Yeah. I was nervous because I never didn't know how to pitch. So
that's
this is before. So that one I was sort of like, I kind of bombed because I didn't know what to do. I was just like, one of the tricks is, and it's such a.
Please tell me. I go to pitches sometimes. And
When you're talking about a movie, what you have to do is you have to get them, in that case, it was their scripts. And then I have to get them excited about their movie.
About their scripts.
With casting ideas. And I remember on the goods, casting ideas, you go like, but meanwhile, it's already, when I was pitching on it, it was already Stiller and John Hader. So
we're gonna be what?
We're already in it.
Okay.
Stiller was playing the Will Ferrell part.
Oh.
So it's like, so they're like, well, who else would you put in? I was like, I don't know, Poehler and Arnett. Like, I was just like, there's only four parts in the movie. Like, what do you? But in the goods, I remember pitching once I knew a little bit. Although with the goods, I never really visually pitched.
Because like if Will Ferrell's in it, you're like, well, we're not gonna get anybody better than that. That's
no, of
guy.
Course not. But then you go like, you know. But here's what you do. The trick is you go, you know, who'd be really good. We got somebody from The Office, or if we got somebody from The Hip Show.
Mm-hmm.
The Hip Shows are like The Office. If we get someone from The Office, it'll quote unquote project intelligence. If we get somebody from
the
Daily Show,
that nobody watches.
Yeah, all the shows that nobody watches. The Daily Show.
Yeah.
If we get, it's like if you do a drama and you get somebody from The Wire.
Uh-huh.
And meanwhile, it's the corniest. You're basically stealing someone else's casting idea.
Wow.
But in Hollywood, it's like, yeah, but we're going to cast this thing up. That's what they call it. We're going to cast it up.
Cast it up?
Yeah. Meaning like we're going to elevate the material with our cast.
Okay.
And
because
yeah,
that justifies that version of the game, of the casting part.
It just is like filler. It's the dumbest thing ever in these meetings. I remember I was pitching for the goods. James Brolin's in it. And I go, and he was sort of set. Yeah. We had talked about him a lot. And he was in it. And I was like, if we don't get James Brolin, you know, it'd be good as Warren Beatty. And they're like, how'd you think of that? I want to go like, I went to the video store.
Did you think
you
of it?
You fucking idiots. How did you not think of it? Just think of old dudes.
Yeah.
And then you think of like black dudes. All right, if we don't get Ving, then we'll get so-and-so. If we don't, you know who might be good for the DJ? Craig Robinson. And they're like, he's on The Office. That'd be awesome. And then you go, yeah, Craig's actually a friend of mine. What?
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's just this, it's not, to call it a shell game would be an insult to shell games.
And really, it's like, if they just called him and said, hey, Craig, you want to do this movie?
He'd probably just be like, go, yeah, okay, there, what's like the deal? There's lists of actors, and you just go, that would be good. And then you look at it in the aggregate, and you go, yeah, that seems like a fun cast.
It's like going to a wedding invitation place and picking out, I like this wedding invitation, and they're like, yeah.
Yeah.
That is a good one.
But they are, it's almost as if it's... I think you take the analogy a step further. It's like when women compliment each other on like really nice paper stock. Yeah, I went to the store.
It was one of the seven available.
It was one of my choices. Yeah. I just liked it. It's like Eddie Murphy. Another great Eddie thing.
Yeah.
Is that he won't claim. They tried to claim James Lipton tried to give him credit for Rock and Chappelle because he encouraged Dave to write and he sort of found Chris and Eddie's like. It's not that hard to go to a nightclub, to go to a comedy club and go, oh, those guys are better than everyone else.
I'll say hi. There's
audio proof that they're getting bigger laughs. But most people be like, yeah, thank you. Like, Eddie gave Arsenio a show, walked him into Paramount. They offered him points. He said, no, thank you.
Really?
Yeah. In Living Color, they tried to get
him. What are points? Explain what points are.
Percentage of the profits.
Of the what?
The profits.
Okay. Eddie How many points like, are there? 100?
Yeah. And Eddie was like, no, I'm good. Arsenio's my friend. I don't want a profit from the guy.
Wow.
Yeah, he's like a fucking good dude. So yeah, that's that thing of like that shell game of like, and we're going to cast it. You know who would be amazing is so-and-so from this other thing that's popular. It's so fucking corny. And they think that you're, and that's part of the, magic,
and they
apparently.
Think they're sort of being brilliant to think that up. Is it just they don't bother working really hard?
Say again.
Is it just because they don't bother working really hard?
That's part of it. It's like when people go, you know, who's funny is when you find out who's hot, you're like, he's been funny for fucking 9 years.
Oh yeah,
I remember when like 5-6 years ago when people were hot on Brian Regan. It's like yeah, Brian Regan was really funny when I saw him in 1988.
Yeah,
I'm not even kidding. Like. He was crushing in 1988.
I do that with Zach a lot too, Galifianakis.
Yeah.
Like, where'd he come from? Like, he's been here.
He was right here the whole time. You're just too afraid until Todd Phillips goes, yeah, no, this guy's got to be in my movie.
He's another guy that I think would get a lot of that, like, of the what are we going to do with that stuff? And then they're like, just let him go. Just let him go and we'll see what we'll do with it.
Yeah. No, Zach's great in those movies, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's like Todd goes, no, I want this guy. And then once Todd shows you how to do it with him, then everyone's like, yep, Zach, Todd, you know who'd be Todd Phillips?
Yeah.
Zach Galifianakis, you know? And meanwhile, Todd has basically just cast, Todd's a very good caster.
Yeah.
Like, he's all-time great comedy caster.
Yeah.
In that, it's like you look at his movies, his first movie was Road Trip.
Okay.
You know Tom who he Green. Cast in that? Who was, and again, it's just a heat thing, Tom Green.
Yeah.
Tom Green's hot. Tom Green now is...
You got that super skinny kid, right? From...
DJ Qualls. Uh-huh. But again, and it's a fun cast to watch.
That's the first time I ever saw him.
But, yeah, and it's one of the last times you saw him.
DJ Qualls?
Yeah. Thing, that cast was just hot for then. Then he cast Will and Vince Vaughn in Old School. On before their ascent. I remember, this is how stupid people are in Hollywood, to answer your question about lazy. Me and Mike Schur, who... created Parks and Rec, used to write together. And we were out here pitching a movie in 1999. And we go, you know who would be good in this? Will Ferrell and Dave Chappelle. And three people in the same week go, how about Tom Green and Orlando Jones? Wow. And me and Mike kept looking at each other like, are we crazy? Because Dave's the funniest guy I know, and Will's the funniest guy I know.
Yeah.
Like, sure was working with Will on Saturday Night Live, and I was working with Dave. Just we were friends, and we'd done Half Baked together. So it's like, is my taste bad?
Tom Green is hilarious, too. But, negate Will Ferrell and Dave Chappelle. Yeah. Like, what?
You're just saying, and just go like, well, it's just like, well, this is hot. This, I can sell this to my boss. So you give them names that they can then go to their boss and go, you like The Wire, right? Mm-hmm. We got Bubbles from The Wire.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is great news.
Yeah.
Like, we got Bubbles. This gives it legitimacy in my own head.
That are, I went to an audition for Entourage once, and the doctor from Lost in the flashbacks, the guy who's on those videos.
Didn't watch it.
Okay. There's a shitty old videos of the Lost Island from 50 years ago, and there's a doctor on there. And they eventually go back in time and meet that doctor. But he was auditioning for the same role in Entourage of a doctor, I guess, actually.
Right.
And all the writers were coming out to take pictures with him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, of course I'll get the job. Everybody wants to be around him and ask questions and stuff.
Absolutely.
You should.
Absolutely. So that's the thing. Like, I'm trying to think of people that I like had a hand in casting in the goods. Craig.
So they didn't think of Craig. You just had to tell them, like, I got somebody from the office.
Well,
like,
you just go, who'd be a good DJ? So-and-so will be good. And I was like, Craig would be good. And it's like, yeah, he would fucking in Knocked Up.
And so the other side, like, wow, that'd be good. Or like,
yeah, they go, no, they go, that would be good. I don't know. There was an old guy in the movie that has since passed away, a guy named Charlie Napier. And I cast him, and I had to hold up a picture, and people go, oh, yeah, I remember that guy from, like, fucking T.J. Hooker or whatever he was on.
Wow.
Dr. Ken Jeong, like, he was, it was like, you know, he'd be good for, so it's like, yeah, of course. I remember the kid from Heroes.
You put him in that before Dr. Ken really kind of blew up to where he is now.
Yeah, we
he
put
was
him.
Going, but he wasn't
Well,
there.
We had Helms, Ken, and Craig. We had a bunch of people from The Hangover.
Yeah.
That
was The Hangover already out?
We shot before The Hangover.
Yeah, that's what
and
I
And then
thought.
Helms, we were like the first movie Helms was really in.
Wow.
Still didn't do well.
Seems like a no-brainer now.
No,
like
yeah. No, I know. Like, but again, if you just go, the guy from The Office. Yeah, we'll get the guys from The Office. We'll get the guys from Judd's camp.
Yeah.
We'll get Dr. Ken. He was in Knocked Up. We'll get Craig. He was in Knocked Up. We'll get the guys from, you know, and it's obvious.
Yeah.
It's not like difficult, but that's the trick is.
I really got to pee.
That's what people go, he's got, you, and we're recording?
Yeah, we are recording this time. Yeah. I'm going to pause it. Okay, and it keeps going.
Oh, yeah. No, so that's the thing that they always say is you have really good taste.
Really good taste.
Yeah, like you're the chief. You're as part of the job of director and part of what people get by on out in L.A. is like he's got really good taste.
Wow.
Which is why people make.
That's unmeasurable.
It's not measurable, but it is you can smell it. Meaning like. That's why they all dress like douchebags is because they're all trying to out-taste each other. Like,
oh,
do you know about, you don't know about these Nikes? It's like, I'm at the forefront.
So they have to dress super hip?
Yeah. To project their excellent taste.
And that's why it comes off as needy sometimes. Because you're like, dude, one pair of shoes. You don't need the shoes and the jeans and the fucking jacket.
Oh, yeah,
because
it's all defensive.
Relax.
They have to go to parties and they have to see each other at the valet. And they have. That's why I don't go to that shit because it's just so gross.
I dated an artist for a while, and she said, "Who buys art is rich people who want to seem like they know art."
Yeah,
that's who buys the expensive pieces.
Yeah, that's the. So you become. It's defensive. So that's the thing. Is like he's got really good. Are you going to the Tom York show?
Yeah.
Are you going to go to Coachella
and so
this
because
year?
Someone has good taste.
Because someone
our
has
movie.
Good taste, they go. We're going to put him in charge of this big thing, and. Meanwhile, a lot of times it has nothing to do with one has nothing to do with the other, particularly with comedy.
Yeah, it's also it's like taste. Like, what about knowing how to pause long enough on a shot?
Absolutely. Well, that's the thing. It's like the guys who got the job, the Geico guys who directed, they directed the Geico commercials. They got the Blades of Glory job because they knew how to pitch and also because they had the hot commercial.
And people love those commercials.
Yeah. So they were like, can you believe how
real
they are?
Did those guys stop directing those commercials?
Meanwhile, they didn't write them.
Now. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they don't direct them anymore, I don't think. They price themselves out. Also, they had to replace the cavemen because they priced themselves out, too.
The new ones seem non-union. That's how bad they seem. Where it's like, what'd you make this? In an afternoon?
Yeah, so it's all about intimidating people creatively. And you drop.
Now, would you think you would get the same thing out of being very confident about your tastes? Like having a real sense of taste and stuff? Like, you know what I mean? Like you can
look,
say,
I
like,
I have legitimate taste. Like, I know what I like. I know why I like it. I know, and that's with movies, TV, whatever. Like, me and Dave doing Chappelle's Show, like, we had rules for, like, you know, no one can like slip and fall out of frame.
Right.
And like, whoa, comedy. No one can pass out. No pratfalls. No, you know, like there was.
But that is your legitimate taste. That's just not you conveying
taste. Oh, no. Well, that's the thing is I do have legitimate taste. Yeah. But a lot of people are just conveying taste. Most people in executive jobs are just kind of conveying taste. They're basically running scared. They're just trying to, it's like those people who read like trend books.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there are people that go trend hunting.
Yeah.
Then they get to sell them to corporations like, you know what's hip right now? New era caps with a straight brim or whatever. Like whatever the thing is.
Yeah.
Beards.
I tell you
thick
the other day, some
glasses.
Girl was coming over to my apartment and I had some book. I think I'm rereading Catcher in the Rye.
Mm-hmm.
So I had it, but it was face down. Mm-hmm. And so I like flipped it over so she could see. And I'm like, what are you doing, idiot?
Yeah.
You don't need to brag that you're reading a cool book. Just flip it back over. You're as cool as you are.
Yeah. It's like how... That's what bookshelves are about.
Showing people.
Yeah.
These are the things I read.
This is just a
taste
little,
of what I'm into.
Yeah, and it's actually going to go away. I believe now that it's like that in comedy.
What?
In that people are less about the actual comedy and they're more about being seen to like that comedy.
You know, there is some of that.
So there's like, yeah, I mean, I just like Aziz. I just like Louis. And meanwhile, it's like you like them because someone told you to like them. You don't like them. You don't know the difference between Aziz and me or Louis and Attell.
You're just supposed to.
Yeah, like you just go like, that's what fucking, can I get pussy off it?
Yeah.
Can liking this get me pussy?
Yeah. I've done the same thing in a wrong way when I was starting. Like, oh, that guy sucks. And then having to say, have you even seen him, Ari?
Yeah.
Or are you going off what people say?
Yeah, of course.
Just give him a chance once.
Yeah, comedy has never been like that before. And it is now.
Who's that chick that used to be a Raider? Raiderette?
Angela Johnson.
I've never seen her act.
Yeah.
And I've shit on it so many times off that one clip. And I'm like, it's one clip.
Yeah.
You know better than judge somebody off a clip.
Yeah. But that's what people do.
And I shouldn't say she's good. I should say I have no clue.
Yeah. I haven't seen her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, but that's what we're experts at this. I'm talking about audiences. She took off in a different way in terms of. Audiences want to go.
I saw that with Attell, which you're talking about, with Attell last week. When he was there, people were doing the over laugh on his jokes. They're like, man, that one's not worked out yet. And they were doing the super laugh. Like the, ah, ha, ha.
Yeah.
And it's like, these darn jokes even he likes.
Yeah, like, see, I get it.
Yeah.
Look at me.
Look at me.
Look at me consuming. Look. It really is some capital. It's like, it really is a pimpy move on part of capitalism to make it to where, like, I believe that's why we sold so many Chappelle DVDs. Is because
it was a cool thing to like.
It was a cool thing to put on your if, instead of actually having to do something about, instead of actually having to have black friends.
Yeah,
you could go. I'm really if you had a DVD, if you had a Chappelle DVD, it's like I'm into hip hop. I'm into I hate authority. I like black. I'm open mind. I'm into black shit.
Wow.
I'm into like you just got to do it. You could buy it for $19.
Wow, that's not bad.
Yeah, like it's good business being, but it's. It's fucking corny in its essence. Is that that's what capitalism has become. It's become about like the word curate didn't really exist until about 2 years ago. It existed in art galleries, but now it's like I've curated some of my favorite comedians. Really, when you're done, kill yourself because that's the corniest fucking thing.
Who says that in terms of comedy?
There are shows that where they say it's
curated to make it seem artistic instead of like I helped them along.
Or these are just people that I think are funny. Again, it's like goes back to that Eddie thing. Eddie would never go, I curated Dave, and he's a brilliant comedian. You just go, yeah, the motherfucker's funny. Yeah, it's like I like
Carboni used to say that about me when I helped him get a commercial agent. And he was like, something like, you really helped me along or something. Like, dude, you booked 10 commercials a year for 5 years. I didn't do that. I just
It's like I got you the opportunity, but fucking that's you did the rest. It's also not hard to see Carboni and go, hey, be good in commercials.
Yeah. His old agent was just signing him up for like dancing, high energy stuff.
It's hilarious.
And I was like, you need to meet somebody else.
It's hilarious. So that's it's this sort of, you know, it. And there's another level.
Yeah.
Now, which is there's more energy in the end. I was talking to a rapper, and I won't say who, but he said there's more energy, and he releases a lot of mixtapes, and it's not 50 Cent or whoever. It's not Drake. It's not
I don't know the hip-hop
he goes,
world.
He goes, there's more now it's about creating buzz for a thing you're going to release. And it's not even about the thing. It's just about, yo, this shit's about to pop off.
You better be there for it.
Yeah, and then, like, fucking, you create this need, and meanwhile, there's not even... It's not about the product. It's about the release. It's about the pressure I could build up in the media before I release this shit.
So it goes off like a gun, like full pressurized, like boom, and explodes, and everybody buys.
Yeah, but, and a lot of times people don't even buy. It's, they just, it just creates buzz so that you can, then you can charge $10,000 to Pepsi to do a song
to film your wedding
at one of their parties.
Oh, yeah.
Or at one of their corporate events. You can charge $50,000 just to show up because, like, he's really got a lot of buzz right now. Wow. Meanwhile, there's no product.
There's no product.
And this is the guy who's doing it well.
Yeah.
And but he knows what he's doing.
Wow.
And it's like Aziz, for instance, is more liked in theory.
Yeah, that the graphics he had for his tour that made him look like Kanye West. Yeah. Made him look cool and interesting. I'm like, cool, what's this all about? Didn't show any stand-up at all in
that.
But they're like, you want to be a part of this tour.
Yeah, it's you want to come out. Shit. Don't worry about it. And again, it never existed in comedy. Wow. It existed in music a little bit, in movies a little bit, but...
Dane must have had that a little bit. Mm. Not my friends all thought he was uncool, but like America thought he was like
Dane was a big thing. Absolutely. Like Dane had another thing, which is a kind of a Tony Robbins inspirational thing, where we're all in this together and we grew this thing together and we're all part of this Dane thing.
Yeah.
Even I'm no more a part of it than you guys are. So it became this sort of like this movement-y thing.
Yeah.
And it's Dane's dad was a marketing guy.
Really?
Yeah.
It was brilliant. The stuff they said, go to record store and put my stuff in the new releases. He told his fans to like put his records in the new release pile so people can see it more.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, like, he's totally shit. Smart. He would release tickets on Thursdays because that's when people got paid.
Smart.
Where you just go, yep, very smart.
Do you do tweets that way where you start thinking about what time of day it is?
And
you're like, oop, people aren't at work.
Yeah, I think of a tweet at midnight, I have a thing where I can...
Send it later.
Send it, yeah.
Yeah, I'll do that too.
Because it's like, I'm not going to fucking waste this at midnight.
Yeah, no one's
I'm all for like the spirit of the game, but...
For Switzerland? Fuck them.
Yeah, I'm also in this to publicize myself, period. Yeah. Like, so it's a different...
There's a real thing to that. ABBA had I just heard this on the radio, had a song that was a hit, not really anything. A few years later, they got a new manager or something, and was like, that's a hit in America. I'm telling you, they did it wrong. They re-released it and it became like top five or number one, whatever it was. But it's like, just the way you promote something.
I remember the first Chappelle taping... it was we came up, but it was back from the first commercial bumper.
Yeah.
And Chappelle's like, watching, so we're here at Chappelle's show. We haven't been canceled yet. And he comes off stage and I go, why are you saying that? And he's like, just, you know, print the legend. He's like,
what do you mean? Like,
it's like if you can print the truth or print the truth or print the legend.
Yeah.
Print the legend.
I always see those sets on YouTube or something. Somebody's like banned from Comedy Central or banned from, like, no, you got cut out.
The clip they didn't want you to see because they care about quality.
Yeah. Or they have someone else similar and they're like, nah, we're just going to cut.
Yeah, like Dave understood, like, just I'm trying to make this like kind of an outlaw. And Dave's a fucking, and Dane is a fucking good comic and Aziz is a good, like, these guys are good, but that's just a part of it.
Yeah.
You also have to be. Part of it is marketing, and it's gross, and people get fucked that. Yeah, but, you know.
You ever reading Bukowski?
Yeah.
There's something he said, and it's one of the short stories where it's like talking about the other poets of the time and how they're all rich, and they're doing these speeches at colleges and making all this money that he would never do. He never wanted to make speeches at college, and we did. He always hated himself for it.
Yeah.
But he's like, that's not the way a poem was supposed to be and taken in, read once by the author.
Yeah.
Like, he's supposed to read 1,000 times alone or whatever. Yeah. But he goes, yeah, they all have money, but they'll never have my balls. He was always like priding himself on the idea that he wouldn't sell out it in any way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fine, and I think that's admirable, and
but guess what? You also had to go to the track.
I think it's more cute. Yeah, I think it's like good for you, man. How did that? I think Chappelle used to say when Comedy Central would go like, we're offering you exposure. He goes, I can't feed my kids exposure.
Yeah.
Like I'm all for the, as much as, you know, it, you would go like, if Dane said, print the legend, everyone would go, fuck that guy. Da, 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 da. If Chappelle says it, it's like, cool.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Somehow, that's just a brand thing.
Yeah. That's what it is. It's branding, I guess.
Yeah. But the thing of it is, it's almost required now. And if you can get a bigger audience, cool. You know, just from booking your podcast.
Well, this is why I do this podcast.
Yeah.
This is not my stand-up.
Yeah. It's not your stand-up. And guess who? I bet you're more inclined to book a famous person you know than a not famous person you know.
On my podcast?
Yeah.
Probably, yes.
Yeah. I'm the same way. Me and Moshe have argued about it. It's like, dude, I want people to listen to us. Yeah. We can use these famous people as leverage to get people to come and listen to this famous person. And while they're there, they get to hear you, me, and Doug fuck around. And then maybe we make fans for a long time.
I try to make it so it's like, well, let me talk to the famous person about something they really know about.
No, absolutely.
But, yeah, it's nice. If
I'm not
Will
saying you're
podcast,
talking to a famous person you don't respect. Or you don't, but if it's in terms of like the hierarchy of desire, the first choice is like using this person. It's like Letterman's not booking not famous
people. I did a podcast on hookers. With Mike Black was the second one I did, and he just talks about going to hookers and why, you know, what his family says.
What's hilarious is Mike Black is it's the poster he's the logo for guys who go to hookers.
Yeah.
It's like that look. The fucking logo. It's like when you think about like, ugh, what kind of other guys were, it's Mike Black.
It's Mike Black. But if I could have gotten Charlie Sheen to talk about hookers instead,
you'd
probably
literally
be less
would
funny,
kill
but
Mike
I would
Black.
Get Charlie Sheen.
You would slit his throat in front of his family.
Charlie Sheen would be like, we weren't even
in
asking
front of
you
his,
to do that.
In front of his beloved hookers.
I thought it'd be best, Charlie. I thought it'd be best.
Yeah, no, but that's the, and you're smart.
Okay, so you go into this office, whatever.
Yeah.
Try to convince them you have taste and you can do whatever.
Yeah.
And then they either tell you no.
In that case, I bailed before they could.
How'd you bail?
I just called my agent. I was like, I don't want to do this. I just don't want to do an ice skating movie.
Right.
With the goods, I convinced them. And then I convinced McKay. I convinced some people at Paramount. Then
let me be in control of this.
Yes. But I told them jokes I liked. I told them performances that I liked. It's sort of like a... And again, now if I did it, I would either have video or stills or actual video. I pitched since
going with you.
And made videos for the shit.
Wow.
Like,
just easier for them to see it.
Yeah, just go, this is what it'll be like. You put music under it, a lot of energy, a lot of dynamics, a lot of things, specifics, freezing something, going, this is what I like about here. I would put smoke in the scene. I would put haze. I would haze
really?
Shit before the fucking, before we roll, like, so it looks like Top Gun. Shit like that, as an audience member, you might not even think about that much.
But it gets in your head.
It gets in your head. First of all, it shows expertise.
Yeah.
If I go, I want to haze it, and you see how all the light sources are from the character's ankles. And that's the thing that I learned from doing Half Baked is like me and Dave got railroaded, and we saw like, oh, like, we didn't think that we were entitled to know about lighting and production design and stuff. And then you get there, and when you see it done wrong, you're like, oh, fuck.
But they don't care about you at all. They're like,
that one, they were just, at a certain point during Half Baked, it just became Brewer's movie. Uh-huh. And, like, on the DVD, Brewer's on the sleeve. Dave's picture's not on the sleeve. Me and Dave wrote it.
It's a Brewer movie.
Basically. That's what
Is
it became.
The star
and
of
they.
It?
Yeah, he's in it. He's
People
one of the
love Half-Baked.
Ensemble. Yeah, but I'm not a fan. Dave's not a fan.
Because it wasn't done the way you wanted
to
do it.
No, and that's like literally I saw Chappelle last night and we were joking about the director of photography on Half-Baked. How he underlit Dave. He's like, fucking, it's like Bernstein underlighting me. Underlighting meaning all the light sources on Half-Baked are at their shins.
Why?
He just thought it would look cool. And it looks like a fucking horror movie.
Oh.
But again, you don't... I didn't know to... You wouldn't know it.
No.
You wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know to look for it. I went to film school for a year, so I was predisposed to look for the stuff. But... So then you go in...
You dropped out of NYU film school?
Yeah.
I love stories like that.
Yeah. You go in to these studios, and you kind of flex a little bit in that way. Like, yeah, see, I don't like the sort of... the film, the tone. I don't like how saturated the color is. Like, right. Just shit in there.
Stuff they wouldn't know about it at all.
Yeah, they know a little bit to hear about it, but they don't know it,
To have an opinion.
Yeah.
Okay. But they like that you have an opinion.
Yes. That's the thing.
Sounds like he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, like
I
this
do the
guy.
Same thing. If you start talking like you know something,
absolutely.
For some reason, I'll just join in and be like, oh yeah, yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
The reason is you're a fucking human being,
and you want to feel like you know instead of just going like, tell me more. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's one of the least favorite things I do.
I'm sure there's a pretty long list of things you loathe about yourself.
There. It's up there.
So you establish faith, and then they have to sell. So you do casting, you do look. You do other movies that you like. Here's the thing you can't do. You can't mention a movie that didn't do well.
Really?
That you liked. You can't. I couldn't go in there and say, you know what production design I liked? The production design on Dirty Work.
Right.
On Norm's movie, Dirty Work.
Because it'd be like, what the fuck
are you
doing?
Yeah, it'd be like, wait, why are you going to fuck our movie up?
Yeah.
Anything positive, you cannot.
You can't even be like, that car they used in that. I want that
fuck
car.
Fuck you for even bringing that car into this.
What?
No, for real.
Really?
Yes. Wow. So you just have to, it all has
to
be.
You have to watch yourselves at all times.
You just mentioned Todd Phillips movies.
Let's say you did have something from Dirty Work. And mm-hmm. had one of the funniest scenes ever is Arnold Drummond getting knocked out by that boxer.
I barely remember it. I saw it in the theaters.
It was a fantasy scene of if he got in a fight with an actual Jeter Tatum, or that's not a real person, is it? If actual real boxer, like what would happen?
Broderick, yeah, something like that.
And you see Arnold going in there like, I'm going to fucking kick your ass. And then the guy just punches him so hard.
Oh, right,
Arnold Drummond in the face and just he falls.
Yeah, I like so the production on that movie.
But so if you did have something like you liked, you would have to find another more popular movie and say it's from this.
Yep.
But really, then you'll be...
You'll be emulating. So you just bring up.
Wow.
You bring
and
up.
You have to do that, or you're not making your movie.
Yep. You got to bring up Todd Phillips movies.
Yeah,
because Todd's are popular. You got to bring up Jay Roach's certain movies of Jay Roach's. If you bring up Austin Powers, they're going to go, "Wait, is he making a cartoon?" If you bring up Meet the Parents, then you're making a real funny comedy of manners with real production design. Whereas Austin Powers is basically
sketch
a
movie.
Parody. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you just have
So if you say the wrong thing, even production design for that, they'll be like, are you trying to make a sketch movie?
Yeah. Like, and they'll be like, wait, what? They want to trip you up. They want to like,
really?
They're like, what are you? So do you see this as a sketch movie? And be like, no. I promise you. I fucked up when I said Jay Roach, I should have been more specific.
Really?
I should have said such and such.
Wow.
And then you say, everything's got to be positive. And then and in the past, too, bring up like the spirit of Stripes or the spirit of Ghostbusters.
Movies
or
they think are cool.
Yeah, movies that they have fond recollections of.
The spirit of. You're not even saying anything.
Of course not.
You're saying nothing of substance.
The shell game. They just like Chappelle's Show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Is it just like, okay, you like me on Chappelle's Show, so I'm going to take everything else away and let you like me for Chappelle's Show.
Yeah, you don't take everything else away. You just mention other things that are basically innocuous, but they like you because they like the thing you made. Meanwhile, the things I directed on Chappelle were the Rick James, Prince, John Mayer, the Racial Draft. They're all different, and there's no through line other than they're all funny, and Dave's in all of them. Negrodamus, like there's no, you know what I mean? And that's all basically luck of the draw in terms of, because me and Dave wrote everything. I just happened to be directing the week we wrote that. I could have just as easily directed the stuff that wasn't.
Would popular. You call in like Bill Burr for that draft thing? And
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like Bill. Yeah. We had to watch casting tapes.
How was casting for the goods? Besides, obviously, Piven
Piven, Farrell, all those. It was good. People would come in, read.
I think that would put so much pressure on me. I'd feel so bad making or breaking their day.
The worst is when people were like, dude, people who I like.
Yeah.
And people were like, dude, you got to let me come in and read for your movie. And I'm like, I don't think you're going to be right for it, man.
Yeah.
And I'm saying it. I'm trying to be like diplomatic.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, dude, I'm telling you, I got it nailed. I'm like, all right, cool.
Do they know what part they're even asking
for? Yeah,
before?
And I'm like, I'm telling you this doesn't get... I'll change your mind, because there's all these stories about the time they changed the director's mind.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, I'm a cock blocker. I know what I like.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to like, what? I'm not going to find religion on a performance.
Yeah.
For the most part. So, yeah, I had people. That was the thing that sucked, is like guys who had to fight to get in that I was friends with. And then they came in and they stunk. They just weren't good. And it was like, fuck, man. Sorry. I don't know what to tell you. I tried to warn you.
Did you slough off the responsibility and saying they would say no? Or do you say, I can't take you?
Or did you just... it depends. Generally, like, the info wouldn't come from me. Not because I was a pussy, just because that's how people find out whether they got parts is through their agents. I saw somebody, I'd be like, eh, I don't think it's going to happen, man. I try to be as direct as possible. Like, I don't, you know.
Did you feel any obligation to, like, really look at what when people are auditioning?
Like, yeah, really I would look just because it's fair. I mean, I... Yeah.
But I would think there'd be a bunch of small parts. You're like, what? Okay, do it. And be doing
the
other
best
work.
Part was there was a... there was some small part. I ended up cutting it out of, like, a car buyer or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, Burr, you want to do this part? Yeah. And then it turns out he was on the road. So I'm like, hey, Steve Byrne, do you want to do this part?
Uh-huh.
He comes and does it. Bill Burr has been getting Steve Byrne's residuals for the movie. For that part.
What?
And it's the funniest fucking thing in the world. What? It's probably not a lot of money. It's probably a couple hundred bucks. But just the idea that somehow paperwork got fucked up so that Steve's not even getting residuals and Bill's getting them instead.
Because he was the first one.
Instead of him. Yeah, just because I accidentally like, and again, it's literally like, oh, yeah, let me ask this guy. Text, text, text.
Yeah.
You want to do it? Yeah. Okay, Bill Burr, what's your social security number? And then it ends up, he doesn't get it. It's fucking the best. So you have to, then you meet with production designers. The other thing you realize is like, you don't really know what someone's going to be like on the job.
Until
you
get there. Yeah.
Until
the
they get there.
The audition process in general is like, I'm giving you a
very
short.
Well, at least audition, here is the line that I'm going to need you to say. I'm going to assume that you can say it within 80 years. But the difference between an interview, it's like, I always said with hiring anyone, it's like getting a roommate. No fucking idea what it's going to end up being like.
What it's going to really be like.
Yeah, like, yeah. We can meet for coffee, but ultimately... what do you smell
but are
like?
Are you going to leave your socks out?
Yeah, no. What do you smell like? What are you weird? Are you going to sass me? Are you going to sass talk me?
Sass talker.
When's
the last time you had a roommate?
Last time I had a roommate was 1997.
That's pretty cool.
It was.
Almost.
I had John Benjamin was a roommate back then.
Oh, really?
Then. Yeah, Sam Cedar
show for a minute.
John Benjamin. Then that guy Eli Roth.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Who are you living with?
Did I just in this apartment?
Futures
like,
game?
Yeah. No, I know it was funny. In 97.
Audition to get in there.
96, 97. John Glazer lived there for a second.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus, in New York?
No, it was here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Eli subletted it.
Would you go back to New York then and then come back again?
I moved back to New York in like 98.
Okay.
And then stayed there till 2007.
So you do this, you have all the stuff cast.
Yeah.
Then it's time for you to start. Do you rewrite the script at all?
Yeah, we did like group rewrites.
Because I remember Hitchcock used to do this thing where he'd like have a script, whoever wrote it, and just said, well, the things I need to say in this movie. I need to change these lines and these lines. And they were just like, yeah, whatever you want to do.
Yeah. No, well, this was a little different because the producer, Adam McKay, was one of the rewriters. So he kind of staked his territory with that
stuff.
So
was that hard to be like, I want to change a line?
Yeah, it was hard because I would change stuff. I remember their other partner was this guy, Chris Henchy, and he was like, yeah, just do a rewrite. And I did a rewrite.
Yeah.
And then he didn't tell McKay, and then McKay was like, I don't want any. But what sucked was.
This is the power you didn't have on Half Baked.
This is the power I didn't have on Half Baked, and it was the power I didn't have on this movie.
Because even as the director.
Turns out.
Were you like,
I can't find it. I can't figure out a way to get power out here. Chappelle Show was the best because it was like, no, it's me and Dave. Me and Dave.
You can Comedy Central stay out of your way?
Yeah. After the sixth episode, they said, we don't know what we're talking about with your show.
They said that?
Yep.
Because they realized
were getting laughs on shit that they couldn't have even, they didn't even know they were jokes.
Oh, wow. So they really were smart enough.
Completely acquiesced.
Or
they apologized at the end of the first season for trying to cut the blind white supremacists for time. They were just like, we were dead wrong.
Okay.
So I did a rewrite, and then McKay was like, he didn't like my changes. But then on the set, a lot of the time I had been right in saying that a scene didn't work or a line didn't work. And
sure.
So I'd have to do it on the fly. And that sucked because it wasn't
having to rewrite something on the
fly. Yeah, it was like, dude, I'm already directing.
Yeah.
Now I got to tell this person to say this and this person, which you do anyway, as a comedy writer on set and director, you're going like, hey, say it. Eh, I don't like that. Say this. But it was harder because it was a hard production. It was not a big budget, and
Did you have to deal with like getting actors going well? They talk about like actors, directors.
I'm a fan of never cutting, because
especially on comedies.
Because it's like the minute you yell cut, everyone just deflates, and then it becomes about hair and makeup, and they all come rushing in, and then you got to wait 8 minutes for nothing,
for no reason,
for a piece of hair you give a fuck about. Yeah, for some shit you didn't care about.
Hair, random.
Yeah, and then and also I just find people get more momentum if you don't cut and if you.
So when you don't cut, what do you just go to the next scene?
No. You just keep doing that scene. You just go.
Start again.
Meaning you just go, again, from the top.
And don't cut. Oh, wow.
Yeah, Michelle Gondry doesn't cut. Tom Shadyac doesn't cut.
That's pretty smart.
That's kind of where I heard about it from. And then on Chappelle, we were shooting on, I didn't like cutting because we were shooting on like beta. We were shooting on, it didn't cost anything to
tape.
So it was like, yeah, let's keep rolling. And then we end up having like 3 hours of extras on the DVD because it's like, Dave's a funny dude.
Who is Dave Chappelle?
So let's keep the camera going. and then we'll sell the scraps. And that's the same on the goods. Like, there weren't a lot of bloopers or anything, but like Jeremy wasn't great until like take 4 or 5.
Were you happy with the way the movie turned out?
Yeah, for the most part, I was. Like, it's not popular.
If you say, besides how much they advertise this or whatever, like, here's my finished product.
Here and there, like, in the margins, there was stuff that I wasn't crazy about.
Obviously,
there
had to be some stuff.
Certain cast and certain music cues or certain edits or certain...
Like, what grade would you give yourself based on what you could expect from yourself and, you know, and what you
wanted? All things considered, I'd give myself a B+.
Mm-hmm. That's great for your first movie.
Yeah, but the problem is it did so well, it might be my last.
Yeah. I remember after it came out, so you're like, so what's next? And you're like, TV? Hopefully?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, there's no.
You're like, I'm done with movies.
Yeah, that's what Pauly Shore is like, hey, you going to put me in your next movie? I was like, my next movie? You mean my next pilot? TV is like a kind of, because Chappelle Show was so popular, I'll get a bunch of chances at that.
Yeah.
At
TV shows. Have you done other pilots?
Say again? I did a pilot with Dove last year for Showtime that didn't get picked up, but I ended up, I'm directing an episode of The New Girl for Fox based on our pilot, the same producers, whatever. So I'm directing.
Did you hear about Gerard for that?
Say again?
Did you hear about Gerard Carmichael for that?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm so in awe of that guy now.
Yeah. he just doesn't know any better. I mean, he doesn't know any better.
He doesn't know any better than to turn back on his thoughts. To say, stop, don't be an idiot, take the money.
No, but he's not an idiot. Gerard's going to make it.
Absolutely not.
Gerard will make it. Like,
absolutely. Okay, I had to cut something in there. Some trash was talked that I had to take out. It was just too much. It's going to get me in trouble. While I cut, now I'm supposed to mention the sponsor one more time. So I will just say this. Audible is the internet's leading provider of spoken audio entertainment, information, and educational programming. Here's the deal. I'm going to read this whole fucking thing, but nobody's going to get it. You can listen. It's books on tape. If you ever used to listen to books on tape, which I did when I drove cross country, or at least I had them, but I never put them in. This is the new form of it. You can get stuff on your computers, your CD players, or your iPod players. Like whatever form you listen to this podcast, you can also listen to books. So like the last book I read was The Road by Cormac McCarthy. It was an awesome, awesome book about the apocalypse, and it's so depressing. It's such a stark, like, harsh view on the reality of what would happen, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And if you use this code I'm about to give you, you get a free audio book, like, download, so that instead of paying $7.50 for this book on tape, you get it for free. So it's www.audiblepodcast.com /Ari. That's me. My name is Ari, A-R-I. Audible is A-U-D-I-B-L-E. Talk to the lowest common denominator. That's what they told me in high school. So go there and download all the books you want. There's thousands of books available. They have all this new science and technology stuff, science fiction stuff. I know Steve Jobs' new and probably last book. I'm going to assume it's going to be his last book too. That's available there. So go there again, audiblepodcast.com/Ari. And that's it. Back to Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, number 32.
But again, it's just you. It's betting on yourself. It's like on the road where I take door deals. It's like, I'll take a door deal. I'll take a percentage. Yeah, but we're not. It's an off night. I'd rather bet on myself
that you'll do well
than against myself.
Right.
And if I can't draw, then fuck me. Then I shouldn't be out there. You know.
Yeah.
Is it like sort of cocky? I guess so, but it's just, I don't know. It's like, I don't.
Are you doing, let's say you got, another, let's okay, let's say you're directing an episode of The Good Girl.
Yeah, The New Girl.
The New Girl.
Yeah.
And at that meeting, do you go and be like, I think we should try to make that one chick look cute?
No. Well, that's episodic TV directing is just like, you just go in and you just, you're just pulling the lever basically.
Okay, so at this point, with the money you made from Chappelle's Show.
Yes.
And with whatever extra money you made from the goods or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like, are you even working for money now? Or are you working for resume, sort of artistic level?
I'm
like,
working
I wanna get to
for
this.
Personal interest.
Okay.
Meaning,
like, I don't understand why Brad Pitt does movies anymore. Because he doesn't have to.
No, he doesn't have to, but he likes it.
Right. So that's why
and he
he's
likes
doing
the attention.
It.
He likes the mechanics of it. Like,
so that's your personal interest? That's what you're talking about?
Yeah, I've always wanted to direct TV. Like, I just, like, walk in, direct an app. You work for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's great money. And then you're friends with the cast. You're part of a little production. And then you can just, like,
it's cool. It's
bye
fun.
Bye-bye, everybody. And you disappear. Stand-up, I like because I like stand-up better. Like, people always, I'd rather be Jim Gaffigan than Todd Phillips. And people think I'm crazy for saying that.
Right.
But I just find the way movies are, it just, you shoot it, and then it takes, in a year and a half, you get a laugh.
Hitchcock said the least pleasurable part of shooting a movie for him was shooting the movie.
Yeah.
He said storyboarding, figuring out what shots I was going to use.
Yeah, that's really
that
fun.
That was the art part. And then actually having to do it was like, ugh.
Yeah, it's hammering. It's
I
hammering
already know
boards
a camera
together.
Goes here. How long is this scene going to take?
Yeah. So I'd rather do that. So I don't like talking about money.
Yeah.
But I just do it. I'll do shit I'm interested in with people I'm friends with. That's like, I'll write for Seth for the ESPYs. Is the ESPYs the coolest shit in the world? No. But Seth Meyers is like my best friend.
It's fun to do.
And I like hanging out with him, and it's fun to shoot. And I did the White House Correspondents' Dinner with him, and it's fun to hang out. And with that, it was the White House Correspondents' Dinner I wrote for Seth, and it was fun to write a joke that I knew the president was going to hear. Because I like politics, and it's like, look, motherfucker.
What's your favorite joke that you wrote that you knew he was going to hear?
You know who people are.
Like, this is the joke that you're looking at Obama for his reaction
yes.
on.
Okay. You know who there's all this Republicans that are running against you now. None of them are going to beat you. But you know who could have beat you? You in 2008. Or you know who? I'm sorry. All these Republicans are running against you now, and you'll be able to beat them because no one will be able to beat you. But except you know who could beat you in an election. You in 2008.
Oh, because you're
you
so strong.
You would kill your... Like, he goes...
Yeah, he'd kill himself now.
And then I'd say, you would have loved him. You would have loved the guy. And Obama just had to kind of sit there and take it. And he took it like a good sport. And I also advocated for a joke about Donald Trump, which is that Seth had cut. And I called him an hour and a half before... After the run through, I was like, and I go, dude, what happened to that whites joke? The joke was, I'm sorry, the blacks. Donald Trump said he had a great relationship with the blacks, which is true, assuming that the blacks are a white family. And said that cut it. And I was like, dude, do it. And he's like, are you sure? I go, I'm fucking positive. And Obama, like, double laughed at it.
Really?
Like, laughed, tried to stop because it was racial, and then was like, I can't not
I
laugh at
when
that.
I love people try not to laugh, and they do anyway.
And then I think I wrote the last Bin Laden joke, which
ever.
Was, I mean, not ever, but of the, of its kind, which was, because it was the night before he got popped.
Oh, yeah.
It was, it was about no one watching C-SPAN, and the joke was people think that Bin Laden's hiding in the Hindu Kush, but he actually has a an hour. He has the 5:30 to 6:30 time slot every night on C-SPAN, and then like Obama laughed, and then the next day when he killed him, I was like, he laughed at that joke in a weird way, and then they showed it on all the news programs
because he was already knew this hit was going to take place.
So that was a cool thing to be like.
He must have laughed the way if your girlfriend says, you must have been cheating on me.
It's fucking interesting because I thought he was going to get in trouble because Bush had gotten in trouble for laughing at the WMD. He'd made like a where the WMD videos and he was looking under his desk and people were like, dude, people died because of that shit.
Right.
So I thought Obama might get in trouble for laughing because people died.
Laugh at anything
you can't laugh at Bin Laden. And then I actually watched it, and then like a couple hours later, found out he got killed. And then I watched it with a whole nother fucking level of like.
Do you think he was laughing to try to seem normal? Try to seem.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I mean, again, I'm projecting everything.
Yeah, yeah. Total projection. You have no idea.
Yeah, he was definitely laughing like.
Because he knew like, this hit was going to take
place. Yeah, they were on their way. He had already approved. He approved it
and
Friday.
And couldn't tell anyone.
Yes.
So he did a correspondence dinner, a joke-a-thon. While he had to wait and pretend like everything's normal.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's when people... The day I met him, he went to Alabama to look at the tornado.
Yeah.
He went to Cape Canaveral, met Gabby Giffords, gave a commencement address in Miami, came back to D.C., had to take pictures with people like me for an hour.
Yeah.
Then he's got to do stand-up.
He gets on at the end and...
He went on before Seth. And by the way, fucking destroyed.
Really?
Destroyed. This guy named John Lovett, who was one of his speechwriters, a guy named John Favreau, who was one of his speechwriters, and Judd actually wrote
John Favreau.
John Favreau, not the director, another John Favreau. And then the next day, and he had a hit out the whole time. So you just go, and people are like, "No, I think Herman Cain's up to the job." Motherfucker, he couldn't remember whatever Herman Cain couldn't remember.
It wasn't Herman Cain; it was the other guy.
Right, Rick Perry couldn't remember departments.
Herman Cain couldn't remember who he raped.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many rapes. I don't know.
There's rape everywhere. This whole election.
Wait, so when you looking at that, clearly you projecting, did you see somebody trying to make himself laugh like he would have?
No, I think he. Again,
you've hooked up with chicks before when somebody's like, hey, don't tell anybody. You're like, okay, fine, I won't. But then her friend would be like, did you hook up with Margaret? Like, point blank at your face. And you're like, oh, I can lie, but not this well.
He laughed in a way like, I would categorize it as a wry laugh. Where it's like, you all have a surprise coming. I hope this shit works out. Like, it because him going after Bin Laden was a big gamble. From a national security point of view, like it was, they were flying into another country to kill someone.
Oh, yeah.
That shit, they don't do that shit.
Oh yeah, and if they fuck up going into Pakistan. Then it's like, that's then
that's one of the things that brought Carter down. So was his? Wow. He tried to run a mission to Iran and all that shit. He knew it was a gamble, and it was one of those things of like when someone kind of goes all in.
Yeah,
that again, they project. That's just my projection. That he was like, boy, I hope this shit works out.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, yeah, he's not in the Hindu Kush.
That's a cool thing for your show business career to have taken you to.
No, dude. I met him before that, the night of the correspondence dinner. I got a picture taken, and I told him I'm Creative Spell Show. He was like, it's one of my favorite shows of all time. Michelle, this guy Creative Spell Show. She comes over. We love the show. So upset when it went off the air. And I was like, how do you think I felt?
Uh-huh.
And then...
Get a laugh.
Yeah, gets a laugh. And then he goes... I go, this is also weird, man. I go, do you ever get used to this? And he goes, nope. He goes, but I can't just up
used
and return.
To what?
Used Being to the fucking, there's a line. I'm
he,
getting my picture
he said
taken.
No. He said,
said no.
To.
How do you get used to it? There's a line. Zach, John Hamm, Rupert Murdoch, people lined up, adults lined up to get their picture taken with him like Santa Claus.
Wow.
And there's security everywhere and picture. It's just a high.
Yeah, when you get your picture with the president, that's not one of those things that it's like, hey, look at me and John Favreau, whoever it
no.
is. It's like. This is going on my wall, and I'll show my grandkids this.
That's the picture. It's crazy. The more time goes on, the more amazing it is. It's the picture. I'll show it to you. It's the picture is him pointing at me and telling Michelle he created Chappelle's Show.
Really?
With Dave Chappelle. And you can see him forming the W with the...
What's the W?
With Dave Chappelle.
Oh, you can see him mouthing it out?
Yeah.
Can you send me that picture so I can put it on my website?
Yeah, hold on. Wait for the
wait for iPhone to un. Wow.
Yeah. So it's
you look like a kid compared to those people. Like you're like, you guys are adults and I'm a child. Wow.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
And it's in the April.
Wow.
It was in May of this year, and I'm like, hello.
Were you worried about saying the wrong thing? Or
we were all worried about what to call Michelle. But we're worrying about it with the editor of the New Yorker magazine. We're all just in a line like we're waiting for soup.
Just dudes.
And we're just like, what do we call her? David Remnick, who's like one of the... And he's like, call her Madam First Lady. Or whatever, Madam First Lady, I guess. We didn't call her anything. I called the president man, so...
Really?
Yeah, I go, hey, man.
Was he okay with that?
He didn't blink an eye. Also, I gave him money.
He seems like a regular guy. I honestly,
it's like, I don't know him specifically, but I know people like him.
Have you know people that are like him?
Yeah, okay. He's a really bright... Chappelle's godbrother...
Maybe that's why he got elected, because he seems like one of those guys that you sort of know. He's pretty laid back.
He's approachable.
Yeah.
Chappelle's godbrother is the president, and I've known this guy for 20 years, head of the NAACP.
Really?
Just go, well, how the fuck do I know the head of the NAACP? Because he used to just go to Columbia in New York, and he would come down and watch Chappelle.
Wow.
When we were kids.
They all come from somewhere.
Yeah, everybody's like, it's just like,
Malcolm
Malcolm
X played stickball once when he was little.
See who did?
Malcolm X?
Assuming, yeah. Malcolm, don't you mean Malcolm Red? there's always, it's just people. That's the thing, it's just real fucking human. Even preparing for that correspondence dinner, we're like.
Have you met Obama since then?
No. I know one of his writers now.
If you met him again, you would have to ask him, like, dude, when he made that joke about...
He talked about it on 60 Minutes. They showed it on 60 Minutes.
Showed what? The
that clip. That joke, that clip, and two of us, him laughing, and then a cutaway to Alex Bays and Doug Abels, who were other writers.
Laughing
at him.
And then they asked him about it?
Yeah.
What did he say?
I don't remember.
That's what he said?
No, I just don't remember what he said. It was like, man. I just hoped that, you know, I knew I had to project calm. I knew I had to project. But yeah, it was like really cool. That's one of those things. It's like, yeah, I'll work. I'll do that.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's like, I don't want to, you know, and I'll just do stuff. If it's not convenient, but something I'm genuinely interested in. Because that's the other thing. I'm 38. So the older you get, you just go, oh, wait, I'm going to die. Definitely going to die.
Yeah, I've gotten that a lot more lately.
Patrice is dying or in bad shape or whatever he is.
Yeah.
You just go, that guy's four. He guy's not much older than me. He's my peer. He's in real. His life is going
he's
to be
me.
Altered.
He's not different. He's a comic who became a comic. And,
yes.
And
his life is inalterably different. Like, you know, there are Geraldo, people that are just, you will die.
Yeah.
So.
Enjoy yourself. Do some fun stuff.
Yeah. But that's the thing is like, if I do have enough money, I actually said to my mother, who's so Catholic.
Yeah.
I go, if I have enough money, why should I work?
Yeah.
Why should I?
Well, what's the answer?
She didn't have one. Because it's just like, well, it's God likes a hard worker and all that shit.
When people say that, forget it. If they say this, is the only explanation I could hear, is they say, because you'll get listless and just
bored.
No.
I the thing I like about work is the social aspect.
Uh-huh.
I like exercising my brain. But I talked to Chappelle about this today. We have good brains. We can fucking occupy ourselves for hours at a time just sitting there.
Being alone, doing whatever.
Yeah, just sitting there reading, fucking around. I like daydreaming. Like,
it's fun.
Like, I just like daydreaming.
That's
I wrote
I
on Twitter on Twitter today, I only like to do about two or three things a day. I just like doing two, three. I don't want to have to, like, then I got to go here. Then I got to, I got an appointment. And then it's like, that just sounds like fucking.
I do most of my writing in the car. I just shut my cell phone off before cell phones anyway, and the radio, and I just start thinking.
Yeah.
And then it goes, it's only like, oh, that could be a bit. I guess I'll write that. But yeah, daydreaming. It's fun as shit.
Yeah, it's just daydreaming, and we're just.
So the work you do now is really not it's really not for money that much. Like the stand-up you do. You go on the road.
Oh, yeah. No, now I just want a fair wage.
Right. Where it's like, don't fuck me over.
Yeah. I just want a fair wage.
Give me their stage. That's the main thing.
Yeah, like, give me a percentage of the door.
That's what people ask me.
Because Stanhope told me to do it.
Stanhope said that?
Because Stanhope, he's like, Attell is lazy. Mm-hmm. He'll only do clubs. He yeah. won't do he won't get his own venue. He won't and he's like, don't do clubs because they're not going to give you a fair
one-nighters, things like that,
fair
like,
wage yeah, unless they're not going to give you a fair wage at clubs unless they have to.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just have to create. Show them that, like, oh, I can sell out the Punchline.
I think Louis's doing this too with releasing his
yeah, it's
his
great.
Special
I
online
told Chappelle
and
that today because it's fucking great.
And it's like, you don't have to do things the old way.
Mm-mm.
You can do it. A lot of times, the old ways are the right ways to go. But
yeah, but in this case, it's like the middleman is completely unnecessary. Radiohead yeah. made more money off that record they released.
Did they really?
They made so much money.
Off
it's
the Donate
crazy.
What You Can.
Say again.
The Donate What You Can record.
Yep. They made more money on that record than they probably made in the entirety of their career.
Wow, really?
Certainly their recording career. They make a lot
Why?
Of money.
Why?
Because
it went straight to them? Nothing
yeah,
because
they owned every... All they had to do was produce the record. So, and yeah. they were smart from the beginning. Their Radiohead's first or their second advance, they built their own studio.
Wow. I could see this being for Louis, too, where it's like, okay, you used to have to do it on TV because that's the only way people see it.
Yeah.
And then it becomes you do it on TV, and then you put it online, and people can get it online for years. But then it's like, but then why are we using TV at all?
Yeah.
If most of my fans are getting it online later.
Yeah. And the other thing
Louis
can do
I'm the one shooting
is,
it.
Yeah.
Then what do I need?
Louis can actually sell the internet version to TV in a year.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It's
you're
the
absolutely
opposite.
Right.
That's the beauty of it. Is you're most right. people. Most people saw Bill Burr's special on Netflix. He told me that.
Yeah.
He's gotten more fans from Netflix than anything.
Yeah, it's there later and it's relevant for 10 years.
Yeah. So I love, and I also love thumbing my nose up at I love like, oh, fuck you.
How about this?
No, yeah, you don't. Way. That's unfair.
I do love that when some club gave me an offer or something and you're like, fuck, it's so low. It's like, all right, okay, I'll take it. Like, I've heard it's a good room. And then like a year later, you know, it doesn't work out or whatever. And then a year later, it's like, okay, so can we, like, oh, no, I don't, no.
Yeah.
No, thanks. I'll do another room that's just as fun.
Yeah. Why would I, I'm not going to let you insult me.
Yeah.
Like, why, just because you're trying to, I understand that you're trying to.
You make as much money as you can. I get that. But
yeah, I understand that, but you're not, don't, look, I've been in showbiz longer than you have. In my case, it's like, who are you? I've been fucking, I worked the door in 91. Not like that like entitles me to anything, but like I certainly know the economics of it. Yeah, yeah, like don't insult me. I know what someone, you know, it's like yeah. I just know all a bunch of stuff and I know
I
my.
When someone else, a club or an industry person will say something and you're like, in your head, you're just like, I know that's not true. Like I can give you 10 examples of why it's yeah. not true, but we're not even going to talk about it, I guess.
Yeah. I will try to give them.
Really?
Yeah.
What about this and this and this and this and this?
Yeah. But in a constructive way.
I always feel like when people tell me the reason I'm not being hired or whatever, me complaining or telling them why they're wrong is just me saying your opinion's wrong here when I don't like to say that. I'm like, you're allowed to not like me and that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you
can't. I don't
can't,
have to try to justify why I'm talented.
Yeah, I mean, you hope they're wrong.
Yeah, you either see it or you don't. And
yeah,
you're probably
it's like,
right.
Look, I have a lot invested in your being wrong. In fact, uh-huh. my entire life is invested in the opposite of what you're saying. So God willing, I want to get some coffee.
Okay.
But I feel like how much time
we got? We got plenty. We got an hour and 45.
Oh, great.
Plenty
right,
long
cool.
anyway. So before we go, your podcast is called The Champs.
Yeah.
With Moshe Kasher, who's
Moshe
hilarious.
Moshe Kasher, DJ Doug Pound.
Who
it's a silly ass show. We only have black guys on. We've had Lexington Steel,
the
porn
stuff you're
star.
Talking about, the Griffin stuff.
Blake Griffin was excellent. We had David Alan Greer. We had Robert Townsend. We had Craig Robinson. How did you think of Craig Robinson? We had Craig Robinson. We had Tony Rock. We've had good people. They're funny.
It's on iTunes, The Champs.
Yeah, it's on iTunes called The Champs.
Check it out.
You're called Skeptic Tank.
Yeah. Ari Shaffir Skeptic
Tank. I feel like we've slowly, our relationship gets a little warmer every month.
It does, I think, a little
you
bit.
And I,
you invited me to your birthday party once, and I was like, oh, thanks for inviting me. I really yeah. appreciate it. And you go, this is a big moment, man, for a friendship. And then I couldn't go. I think I got a booking out of town.
You
I was like,
it.
Hey, man, I can't
you
go.
You
blew like,
it. all right, I gotta take a leak.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
How's that for positive? Thank you very much for Neil Brennan for talking to me so much about this system. It's weird when you get to Hollywood, nobody ever tells you stuff. Like there's no like there's no like classes you can take to where you just sort of like, you hear the way people talk, you just sort of wonder in awe, like, how do they start talking like that? How do you know what a biopic is? How do you know what points are on the back end? Like, I've never had any idea what that means. And it's nice to have someone just fucking openly talk about it. Because usually when you talk about it, there's all this like bravado pretty much about how all these comics or I guess actors in general have to pretend like they know what the other people are talking about. Because if you mention, oh, I don't know what that word means, suddenly you're embarrassed or not a part of Hollywood. Well, the reality is I've never been a part of Hollywood. You guys have never accepted me. Not fully. So like, yeah, I'm just going to admit it. I don't know your goddamn terms. So it was nice to have Neil explain all that. And that's it. I was considering breaking these up into two-parters, but I think I'll only do that if I go over like 2 hours. If I go like over 2 hours, then I'll try to break them up into two-parters. Because some people don't – I know. Same thing with like YouTube clips. When I see something that's like 6 minutes and 50 seconds, I'm like, nah, let me go to this 48-second one. They're both fat kids crying. Why can't I enjoy it shorter? So that's why if they're over like a certain amount, I figure I should break them up, but I'm not going to do that. Also, people have been responding really well to usually every Sunday I forget that I should have taken a picture with whoever the guest is. And so I ask people on Twitter usually on like Sunday afternoons or Sunday nights to when I forget to please help me out and Photoshop some stuff with me and somebody. And they've been pretty fun, some of the Photoshops people come up with. So go to my website, and those are there. Also, that picture of Neil talking to Obama when Obama is telling Michelle Obama about who he is or whatever. That's on there, and I'll put a clip of Neil stand up, and you can see him all the time at the Factory. Not the Comedy Store lately, but he's been there sometimes. and that's all. Again, my storyteller show, December 7th, seriously come. This Is Not Happening presents Deflowered. It's all stories about losing virginity. Mark Maron's doing it. That alone is worth the price of the ticket. If you go to my YouTube account, it's youtube.com, I think, / Ari the Great. I think that's what it is. If you go there, Maron told a story about this trip he had at a Grateful Dead concert a long time ago. It was at my very first storyteller show, and that's fucking rad. So go look at that. Come December 7th. I seriously keep the price $5 because it's experimental. It's super fun, but it's experimental comedy. So I don't want anyone to have to, any of the comics to have to feel some sort of obligation. I want them to take chances and experiment, and that's happened a lot. And it's brought on some really awesome things. And I'm going to podcast it. Maron told me to, and eventually I'm like, fine, he's smarter than me. So I'll tell you next time where that is. And that's it. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you, Neil Brennan. For joining me, for letting me into your home. Okay, that's it. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. Bye.